about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let this abomination unto the Lord begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Rise and shine, the sun don't wait. Now's the time to don't be late. Get up now, wipe the sleep out of your eyes. Get up now, and feel the colors in. Get up now, come on baby for the ride. Get up now, and let the day begin.
Did I ever tell you about the day that Steve Martin died?
Steve Martin's not dead, Mike.
I know, but I always thought that the day that he died would be the worst day of my life, and I was wrong. It's this.
Let go! Let go! Let go!
And now,
so that happened.
Our feature presentation.
Hang on a second, I'm twittering. Lakers played over the weekend.
Yeah.
Houston didn't have Yao Ming. I'm sure they did fine. Didn't watch.
Well, there's no need to tune in. When you got that kind of advantage going in, sure.
Ducks were playing pretty well against Detroit. I'm sure they did well. I didn't watch.
Well, there's no need to. No need to check in on that.
Dean is saying there's no need to check in on that.
You may be over-twittering at this point.
Bean says, I may be over.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show with the Monday morning edition of What a New Nephew coming up next. 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number. Lisa, ma'am, happy to say, toll free from all over the Western United States. People can pick up the phone and give us a call. How about that?
That's crazy.
Bean
How
seems
do
to
that?
Be excited about a phone number.
Take that away from him, Mike.
It's just that historically, for many, many years, that phone number was only good for Southern California listeners. But now I'm happy to say that if you're listening elsewhere outside Southern California, you can still call us. Like, for instance, Kevin, there may be some Suns fans who would like to call and gloat this morning.
Yeah, great.
That'd be might actually be very happy about the game yesterday.
That'd
with
be
the
a lot of fun.
Rockets.
That'd yeah, be a lot of fun.
I'm sure they would enjoy that. Yeah. What was that deal, Kevin? You follow basketball pretty closely. How does a team that good come out and play that poorly? Lisa, since you probably didn't watch, at one point the Lakers were down 29 yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
They lost by 11 or 12, and that's not even close to telling the story of how bad it was. Every once in a while, a team gets overconfident, and it turns out that Yao Ming got injured, hurt his foot, so he wasn't going to play. So It was pretty much a foregone conclusion that they were going to win, and they didn't have to play defense. So they came out and didn't play defense at all.
Okay.
At all. All there five guys... of them would just kind of reach, and then the other team would just do a layup, you know, and... Oh, I'm so angry.
Houston had guys that they showed on the TV where you couldn't even see another player. And they were so open.
Yeah. And they started bringing in fans. It was really sad to play. It was like, oh, you come play point guard. We don't need anybody now.
Wow.
Some of it is that they knew that their center was out. But some of it had to be, hey, we're up 2-1. It's not that big a deal if we don't win, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, I guess.
If we do win, it'll be 3-1. We'll be coasting from this point on. If we don't win, well, we're still tied. We can beat these guys in three.
Teams that are superior but can't get motivated drive me out of my mind. If there's one thing you can do, no matter what, it's play defense.
Right.
You might not be hot every night and play offense, but defense you could play. And yet, no. So that happened.
Yeah, that did happen. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to your calls in about 30 seconds or so. But, it was just shocking, particularly when you look at what's ahead. I mean – you know, you have to be hot at the right time. If the Lakers do get past Houston, then they're looking at, what, Denver or Cleveland they're going to have to face?
Well, they'll face Cleveland eventually, yeah, if they get past Denver. Yeah.
And you certainly wouldn't want that Lakers team to be playing the Cavs right now.
Not the one that played this weekend, no.
Right.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? They'll pull it together, hopefully. Maybe not.
Maybe usually not. They do.
How about that Manny Ramirez, too? Hang on.
Got to tweet that.
I wonder what Manny's doing today.
Did he have a good series over the weekend? Did not see the highlights.
How about the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks? Probably had a good weekend.
Oh, what happened to him? I missed that one.
Oh, fired.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this and that was one of those deals where the news broke at first.
Before he knew?
He knew?
Pretty much, yeah.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Are they just huge cowards?
They're waiting for him to get off the bus or the plane or whatever they traveled on. So, and when they do, he's going to get fired. The guy's probably sitting there getting all these texts from his friends.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's a relief, though, if you're him.
Yeah, well.
That is, really. Really? Mean, you don't want that job.
No, that's true. Not this season, for sure.
Oh, God.
All right, so a lot of good sports things going on. Let's take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. You get on the air, and we will give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You do get on the air, you do get a prize. Unfortunately, I have not been made privy to what that prize is this morning. I don't know whether the fax machine's running low or what, but what are we giving away here today?
We are giving away...
Talk slowly so you can find it.
What it do, a $25 crown card from Burger King.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
It's not a crown, it's a crown card.
No, but free food, there's nothing wrong with free food. Let's start with Mike. He's on line one this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Mike, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, baby boo. I was down at the Forum this weekend for the Grateful Dead reunion / hippie burnout festival.
And, why? On purpose?
I thought I might want to get stoned, but now I'm going to reform myself.
after the weekend?
Yeah, it's the lowest of the low down there, and it's not worth my time and weight.
Yeah.
So you're complaining about your people. You're one of the stoners who showed up to see the dead, yet you weren't satisfied with the quality of the audience.
No. I think my life has moved on since 95.
Can the dead be the dead without Jerry?
No.
They're not to me, I'll tell you that. I lost a lot of interest. I haven't wanted to see them live since Jerry died.
Jerry Garcia lost a lot of interest as well.
Yeah, $9 beers. That was
ouch.
I'm surprised the burnout hippies could afford that.
Well, they figure you're burned out. They figure you're high, so that you're not going to think anything about it. Oh, right. $9 beer. Okay,
right.
Yeah, take a little more acid.
Yeah,
hippies. I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. Hippies.
The guy has been saying that for a long time.
Yeah,
I love Mike, who tries to make it sound like he's not exactly like them. By
oh,
the way.
I know.
Clearly, they're his people.
They were a bunch of burnout hippies.
That's right. Not me, though. Not me who went to the dead.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what a dear nephew, baby. Boom.
Hey, I'm still drunk from last night.
All right, look, two quick things.
Yes.
Okay. Why the hell did Phil Jackson allow Pau Gasol to continue playing when he was playing such crappy defense and refused to get physical with anybody front of Rockets? And number two, how about Big Baby Davis making that desperation last, half-second shot at the buzzer in Orlando?
I didn't see that one. I didn't see the last-second shot in Orlando.
You got.
They won, right? They won. Did they win that game?
Hell yes, they won that game.
Wow.
Well, Psycho Mike, I'll ask you, how does Phil decide who he's going to substitute when they're cold?
Well, let me tell you, it's impossible to get into the mind of Phil Jackson, okay, because you never know what that guy's thinking. But I'm assuming, because you know that Yao Ming's out, you're going to just try and outsize the Rockets. You know that they're forced to play a small team, and so you, as the Lakers, are just going to put out your tallest players the entire game and hope that eventually you're just going to physically overman them. And even though maybe Gasol wasn't playing up to snuff, you hope that eventually, like I said, the fact that he's so tall is going to wear them.
But Andrew Bynum had a great game. I mean, he destroyed.
Andrew Bynum was a ghost last night.
Yeah, he didn't play. All right, let's go to Doug in Irvine. Hi, Doug.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do, Linda?
Yeah, I'm Doug.
I was at Denny's all night having hot chocolate and playing card games, and I'm really tired, so I'm driving home.
Whoa. Can I interrupt you right there, Doug?
We have many questions.
First of all, why are you at Denny's all night playing cards and having hot chocolate?
Because it's something my friends and I do daily. We hang out.
Daily?
Bam, yeah.
So you're trying to be hipsters. It's ironic hot chocolate and cards at Denny's.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, you just don't ever get laid.
What were the card games that you were playing all night?
Big Two.
Yes.
Wow. Why is everybody a stoner today?
I want to party with you, Doug.
I wasn't getting stoned and I wasn't drinking. I'm just.
But
you know,
I'm on the phone with you right now and I'm telling you you're high. Whether you remember doing it or not, you are high right now. Or drunk.
And how do you play card games at Denny's all night and not drink? That is a terrible idea.
I'm just really tired. So here's what happened on the way home.
All right.
Oh, there's more. Thank God.
I'm driving slow, and there's someone behind me, and they go around me, and I flashed them because I thought, wow, what a jerk. So it turned out.
What do you mean you flashed your lights?
You flashed your lights or you pulled your pants down?
No, I flashed my lights.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it turned out to be Irvine PD.
A cop, excellent.
So, yeah, I got my ticket, and I was really bombed. And then turned on K-Rock and heard you guys were doing What It Do. I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So I have to call in.
Yeah, you need to go get some rest.
You do.
Yeah.
And you need to get a life.
Yeah.
You need to dump those friends. Hey, I didn't know you could get a ticket for flashing your lights for a second. I didn't realize that.
Well, for one, I flashed a cop.
Right.
But was
right.
It for that or for going so slow? He doesn't.
I can't.
Never mind.
I can't spend more second talking to Doug.
No.
What is going on today?
He sucks the life out of the room.
All right. Let's try one more. This is Steve, who's calling from a place called Waddell, Arizona. How about that? Hey. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do? What'd it do?
What'd it
do? You guys are in Arizona.
Yeah, today we are in some other cities. Phoenix is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, thank God. The radio out here sucks.
Well, the radio on here sucks today, so I don't know where, contributing much.
Hey, dude. I didn't know the Joy Luck Club met at Denny's.
There you go. Now we're off and running. Now the week can begin. A rare Joy Luck Club reference.
Nicely done.
Steve, we're happy that you can hear us.
Guys. We miss you. I'm from Studio City.
Oh,
God, awesome. The radio sucked before you guys got here.
Thank you, Steve. Well, very nice.
We're not making much of a difference, but we appreciate the call very much. Okay, now I feel like we can move on. Now
after
I feel
those
like we...
calls?
Well, I'm saying Steve saved it. No, that's what I'm saying. Everybody up till Steve was shaky, but I think Steve pulled it out.
Joy Luck Club. All right. It is Monday. It's the 11th of May I See Them.
Welcome to Hooterville.
And today we've got some highlights of last night's 17-hour Celebrity Apprentice.
Can I tell you what I did last night? This is weird. I have enjoyed the Celebrity Apprentice television show very much this season. I really have looked forward to it every Sunday, although it annoyed me that it was 2 hours because clearly it could be 1 hour.
Right. Yes.
Last night when I saw that it was going to be a 3 hour show, I said to myself, self, F you, Donald Trump. F you.
Not going to watch it because
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to. I don't have 3 hours to find out who wins The Apprentice. I like the show. That's just to me, that's overdoing it.
Yeah.
That's abuse.
You think?
It's
abuse.
It really is.
Yes.
Well, you certainly do know that most of it's going to be filler. You do know that.
Except for about, I don't know, 20 minutes?
Probably. Yeah. 3 hours. Yeah. But we had LaQuisha watch it, so we didn't have to.
Good.
God bless her.
Or Donald Trump. One of the two.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I didn't know. I thought maybe I missed the meeting.
Nope. You didn't miss the meeting. I missed the meeting. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay. Yeah.
The showbiz website of record. We have Suzanne Northrup on the program today. She talks to dead people.
Oh.
That's what I understand. And apparently we had her on the show years ago. None of us remember her.
I'm the only one who does remember having her.
You really do?
Only because she was barefoot. And I remember thinking, why won't she put shoes on?
Did she, did you get the sense that she was a scammer or that she actually does talk to dead people?
I couldn't tell. I think they're all scammers. But,
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
I think she was pretty good, though, if I recall.
She's a good scammer?
Yes.
I do know that people love that stuff. I mean, people really do want to believe that somebody can talk to the other side, and Suzanne has them believe in that, and apparently has been making a living doing that for a long time.
Matt Bunny Smith in the studio talking about sports.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. NBA, NHL, MLB. And Keanu Reeves is going to star in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That doesn't seem good.
No, that sounds like it requires acting.
We will give you details on that and more tickets to the Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. coming up.
Are we sticking with the game we had planned?
People have been demanding it, Bean.
Really?
Yes. For a couple of years, we did a game, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and it was where we would whistle the hits, and then they had to identify them, and people since then have been going crazy. Please, when are you going to whistle again?
Really?
Yes.
Because I haven't heard any of that.
Me either. All right. But that's coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. You are fast running out of time for a concert that's coming this Saturday, May 16th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. That's down in Irvine, California, don't you know, with Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, Weezer, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Rancid, Silver Sun Pickups, Airborne Toxic Event, Cage the Elephant, White Lies, and so much more. Your chance to win those tickets coming up between 6 and 7 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey,
yeah.
Ralph Garman.
Is there anything I can do to talk you out of the game that you're going to use to give those tickets away?
Kevin and Bean whistle the hits?
Is there anything I can do to convince you to go in another direction, perhaps?
You could...
Something that might be, mildly entertaining to those people who are listening to the radio this morning.
You could probably try to argue with the 7 million fans that have been demanding it.
I'm sorry, but how, what, when now?
7 million.
7 million. We've been getting emails and calls on the business line.
Oh, the business line. The dreaded business line.
That's happened.
I should have realized.
When are Kevin and Bean going to whistle the hits again?
Demanding you, who are neither of you good whistlers, to whistle songs and make people try to guess what they are.
That's correct.
Sounds.
Having said that, the
kids
love it.
Worse than Stained.
Well, let's not get crazy.
That's how bad that idea sounds.
Ralph, you're a bitter voter who's filing a lawsuit at the last second after the presidential election has already been held because you don't like the outcome.
The election hasn't been held yet. The election hasn't been held yet. That's why I'm trying to step in.
America has voted for Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits.
That's
America
right.
will
no
get Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits.
The last 3 years of people demanding it. So.
We've not done this for 3 years for a reason.
Too good?
No, it's not the reason.
We're going to let it breathe. We wanted to give it some time.
That's
so
right.
That people would be excited when it came back. And I think today, finally, it's at a fever pitch, and we must abide.
You're too close to it, Ralph. You're too close.
That's
sometimes, you know, you can't.
Well, everyone's
going
to be too close to it soon, because soon it'll be on the air, and you'll be able to hear it. And you'll be like, what's that? Is that smell actually coming out of my radio? I've never had an odor come out of my speakers before.
I agree.
That's what's going to happen.
I agree. It's going to be great.
No.
In my defense, I am a terrible whistler.
Yes!
In my defense.
No defense. Let's not do this then.
In my defense, I am also a terrible
whistler. That's what I'm saying.
And I don't really remember the melodies of songs very well either. I have
this
that
is not
for
going
me.
To be good, is
oh,
what I'm
how
saying.
Dare
let's
you.
Do a different let's have the listeners take a bullet. They'll all get shot, and then one lucky victim will get tickets. It'll be the same thing for them, really.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But less pain.
We'll do that tomorrow.
5:54 Monday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, big entertainment weekend. What do you got for us?
I've got lots of showbiz news, but before I get to it, I want to give away some tickets.
All right.
We're giving away tickets fast and furiously here on the Kevin and Bean Show these days because we're having a bunch of screenings for these summer blockbuster movies.
Fast and the Furious?
No,
oh.
Kevin, you're missing my point. Last week, I was giving away tickets for Angels and Demons.
Right.
Uh-huh. This week, I'm giving away tickets for Terminator Salvation.
Oh, I can't wait.
How great does that movie?
It looks awesome.
Looks all great.
We're having a special K-Rock advance screening at the Arclight Theater, which, as you know, is one of my favorite places to see a movie, on May the 18th. So I want to give some tickets away here. I don't usually give tickets away in this particular Showbiz Beat, but because our listeners got through Stained, I want to reward them with something, and I'm going to give them tickets to Terminator Salvation. Let's take callers 10 through 14. Callers 10 through 14. I've got five pairs of tickets to give away. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you get through and you're caller 10 through caller 14, you'll be getting a pair of tickets to our very special screening, and I will be there.
No! No!
Of course, the movie stars Christian Bale.
No!
Yes,
no!
It does. Yes, it does. Bryce Dallas Howard, Ron Howard's kid. Moon Good, Blood Good. We were just talking about her the other day. Anton Yelchin.
What?
He's
Anton
Chekhov,
Yelchin,
right?
Who also plays Chekhov in the new Star Trek movie.
That guy was annoying. I couldn't understand him.
Pavel Chekhov was annoying?
Couldn't understand him.
Victor Fife. And he couldn't get the computer to understand his voice because he's got a freaking Russian accent.
And when did Tyler Perry
awesome.
Get fat or whatever get on that show?
Tyler Perry is apparently the head of Starfleet.
Am I right?
Yeah. I'm guessing you saw Star Trek this weekend, Kevin. Sounds like you know something about it.
I know a lot about it.
What don't you understand?
I don't know a lot about it. I thought it was good.
Did that pull a muscle there, trying to shoehorn that that piece of tape into the conversation?
No, I'm used to it.
You're all right?
I'm in good shape for that.
You're going to stand by that one, all right? You don't want to take that back?
No.
All right.
I'm happy with it.
A lot of people want to see Star Trek this weekend. Oh, about $77 million worth of people.
Wow.
Wow.
Pretty good weekend.
Ow.
Sorry. Pretty good opening weekend for Star Trek.
Sure.
A lot of people went. How great is that movie?
Great.
Right?
Loved it.
Even if you're not a Star Trek fan, doesn't matter. You can go and love that movie. Love it. My wife said, I want to see it again. She never says that about movies that don't star A, Sarah Jessica Parker, and B, Matthew McConaughey. But she wants to see this one again, so we'll probably go this week. X-Men Origins Wolverine came in at number 2. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past came in at number 3. Speaking of Mahana, hey! Obsessed was number 4. 17 again came in at number 5 in the top 10 movies this weekend. Next Day Air was number 6. The Soloist was number 7. I rented a movie in the back section of my video store the other day called The Soloist.
Different.
Had nothing to do with cellos, I'll tell you that much. It's not what that guy was playing. It was not a string instrument. It's more of a woodwind.
Uh-oh! Hey, now.
I'm just saying, I had to ask for my money back.
How do you do it?
The Soloist was not about a black dude playing classical music on the streets.
And how was it?
It was good, though.
Yeah. You went to the wrong store.
Monsters vs. Aliens, number 8. 9 was Earth. And Hannah Montana the Movie came in at number 10 this weekend. Very entertaining list. You may want to check out the Chicago Tribune website. Speaking of Star Trek, they've got a list of 15 different names and this little game you play. The game is called Star Trek Character, NPR Personality, or Food Additive. all the people on the list are one or the other, and you have to try to guess who is who.
I like it.
Like Bandolit Del Barco. Oh,
I know who that is.
You'd think would be a Star Trek character, but it's actually an NPR personality.
It is?
Mandolit Del Barco. Come on!
I don't listen to NPR unless I need to rest. If I need sleep, then I put it on.
Mandolit Del Barco sounds like a cartoon that's a dog, like a dog cartoon.
It really
right?
does, yeah.
It's true.
Zefram Cochrane?
Zefram
Cochrane? Any guesses?
No, I don't know.
Star Trek character.
Which one?
Invented the warp drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stefan Fatsis?
That's NPR.
That's an NPR personality, yeah.
We've had him on the show as a guest.
We have?
Sorrel Budd?
Sorrel Budd. Don't know.
Sound Star Trek.
Food additive. So it's a fun game you can play with your friends and family. Yeah. Involve all the kids, won't you? Mia Farrow. Familiar with her, Mia Farrow? She was married to Woody Allen for a while.
Sure.
She was a major film star in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore.
Not as much.
She had to quit her hunger strike for Darfur 9 days early.
Did we solve it over there?
So apparently it's all good, yeah. Darfur is all cleaned up so she can have a snack.
That's great news.
She had some of those prepackaged cheese and crackers in the cellophane wrappers. Uh-huh. Oh, I love those.
Those are good.
Her doctor said to her she kept getting weaker and weaker. Yeah, that's what happens when you stop eating.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. If only we could have foreseen that result from not eating anymore. And they were afraid she might start having seizures if she didn't eat immediately. So she had to start eating. She dropped 13 pounds in 12 days, though. Now known as the Darfur Diet in Hollywood circles, so you can check that out.
I'm going to try it.
And Steven Soderbergh wants everyone to know that we all like watching X-rated movies.
Okay.
The New York Post has an interview with Steven, and he said, we all need to agree with the voyeurs. We like porn and just move past it here in America.
Yeah, we're a little too excited about all that.
He may have a point.
In a bad way.
He said he cites the fact that viewership of online porn sites spikes from 9 to 10:30 a.m. in the morning.
When everyone gets to work?
That is the biggest time people are looking at porn.
Really?
Online.
That's a surprise.
He said not only are guys looking at it in porn, but it's women, housewives at home, waiting for their husbands to leave the house, and they jump online and have themselves a little special alone.
All right, honey,
time.
Have a great day. See you later. Bye-bye.
Here's your briefcase.
I haven't dressed yet.
Here's my... So, there you go.
Just stop and get a life. Porn's not even good anyway.
It sure is. Today's celebrity birthdays. What? I just looked at this list that Dave the King of Mexico gave me here. Mm-hmm. Are you effing kidding me?
What? Why? Who's got a birthday today?
Not many people. Mm. Well, a lot of people, but no one I've ever heard of.
Okay.
Nikki Cat from Boiler Room?
No. We're looking for celebrities. People, okay. Names people might recognize.
Let's see. Cellist Pertu Vivlaxo?
No.
There you go.
Of Apocalyptica?
Now we're getting somewhere.
Hey, there we go.
31 years old today. Actor Jonathan Jackson. He is for real. He was in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, the sequel.
No. Nope.
Wow.
I do not
and
need that.
Tuck Everlasting.
What's going on?
He's 27 years old today. And Arizona Cardinals quarterback Matt Leinart.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Arizona Cardinals bench sitter Matt Leinart. He is 26 years old today. So there's a name we all recognize.
All right.
Go Cards. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. A very big show coming up today, including our former sports guy, Matt Money Smith, who is going to be talking about the Lakers and Ducks and all things sports. Also, we'll give you a chance to talk to the dead. You don't get that on every program. And we'll give you a chance to win those tickets later this hour for the K-Rock Weenie Rose D Fiesta 2009. The show is this Saturday.
When did we become such big fans of Keanu Reeves? I don't remember when it was, but...
I think it was everything after Bill and Ted sucked. I mean, I think... And The Matrix, I guess The Matrix was fine because he didn't have to emote. He just had to be kind of steady.
Yeah.
But in general, Keanu Reeves, for a while, was the actor that we couldn't figure out how they kept hiring him because he made every movie he was in worse. And that's not what you want when you hire an actor to be in your film, right?
He's okay in stuff that he doesn't have to act in, like right. The Matrix, right? But when he was in, like, Dracula, for example, almost single-handedly destroyed that movie.
He was awful.
He was really bad.
And even in, like, romantic comedies, he's never believable. You never buy him as being that guy. I happened to see, by coincidence, the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still this past weekend, which I missed when it was in theaters. And
not
I
a good choice.
Original sci-fi. He's not terrible in that because he's playing an alien who has very little comprehension of humans.
Right.
So he's fine in that. But I do remember the time we had a chance to have Keanu on all those years ago.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash
Have you seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
You know, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
So that's why when we saw that they were giving him another movie, and this time it's The Strange Case of Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hyde.
Or Jekyll. Dr. Jekyll.
Yes.
Right. Maybe Heckle and Jekyll were those birds on the cartoon. The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We thought, well, that sounds like it's going to require some serious acting. What's up with that? So we thought we'd get Keanu Reeves back on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Keanu.
Yes.
How are you today?
Dr. Heckle.
Yeah, right, Dr. Jekyll.
And Mr. Jive.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
Now, this is one of those stories that's been around for 150 years or something like that. It's been frequently adapted to stage and film. But isn't the deal with this story that there's a guy with a split personality, and one of them is like crazy emotional, and the other guy is super calm?
Well, as you may or may not know, the actual story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is based on a very famous book by Robert McLean Stevenson.
Okay.
And when he wrote that book, it was about a man who took a potion and changed his personality from calm to that of a maniac.
Right.
Yeah. And many people think it was actually a damnation of the use of alcoholic spirits, and that potion actually represented evil spirits, people drinking alcohol and losing control of themselves.
I don't know anything about all that, but I do know that you're the wrong guy if you're going to have to be an emotional maniac for part of the movie.
Am I?
Well, yeah, that's half of the character.
Whoa.
Right?
Whoa.
Do you think you have what it takes to play?
Of course I do.
Both.
I'm one of the greatest actors of my generation.
I think you're considered one of the nicest of your generation.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know that great.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know that great actor, though, would come to mind.
I.
You.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But
I can see you. Right. I can see you playing the calm guy and talking the way you're talking to us on the phone right now, Keanu.
Yeah.
But what will it sound like after you drink the potion and then you're supposed to go berserk?
Well, this role has been played by many of our greatest actors.
Mm-hmm.
On film, it's been played by the legendary Spencer Tracy.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
On stage, the legendary David Hasselhoff did the musical version.
Wow.
Of
really?
Jekyll and Hyde. So I have many influences to base my performance on.
Okay.
But I will largely be using my own personality. I will be tapping into my own personal demons to be able to explode as the rage-filled Mr. Hyde. Whoa.
Okay, I know it may be early in the project, maybe you haven't really worked it exactly how you're going to play it, but could we hear a little bit, just for contrast sake, could you do some Dr. Jekyll for us and then do some Mr. Hyde?
This is wildly inappropriate.
Right.
I know, I apologize. Put you on the spot like this.
Ah, or do you?
But if you're that confident, I mean, let's hear both characters, if you don't mind.
All right, here is Dr. Henry Jekyll.
Okay.
Mild-mannered physicist.
Okay.
Or physician. I can't read my own writing. Hello?
I'm sorry, what?
Hello, I'm Henry Jekyll.
Okay.
Oi, what a day it is here in London.
Oh, God. That sounds more Australian.
It is so cloudy here.
Uh-huh.
The fog has rolled in from the Thames.
Thames.
I believe that something is afoot here in London, merry old England.
All right, so that's the calm one. That's the doctor.
That's Henry Jekyll.
Okay.
Okay, now you drink the potion, and everything's going crazy.
I have to actually drink something.
You do,
because I am an actor who uses sense memory.
Okay. That's fine.
Or am I? Yes, right, so I am.
Okay.
1 second.
You drink that, and then your eyes go all bonkers, and then you start tearing up the set.
I am Mr. Hyde. I am wildly out of control right now.
Well, that sounds
I have such rage inside me.
That sounds
here
exact.
Here in merry old England, that I may go on a vicious attack of some kind.
Keanu, those are both the same character.
Whoa.
You're not. You're supposed to be emotionally out of control.
I am. Listen to my rage. Ah.
That's not rage.
Whoa.
It's the same thing you did as Dr. Jekyll.
No. Because Dr. Jekyll's like, whoa.
Right.
Mr. Hyde's like, whoa.
Okay, and that sounds wildly different to you?
I am Mr. Hyde. It is so foggy here, eh? In England, oi. It's so foggy I can barely see my victims of my terrible anger and violent outbursts.
Wow.
Whoa.
I guess we were wrong, Kevin. Sounds like he's got it. Sounds like it's going to be okay after all.
I need to go make room on my mantle for that Oscar.
Yeah, well, good luck.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and on Monday morning, your chance to win tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009. This is a big concert that we have every year in a place called Irvine, and it's at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And this year, it's an unbelievable lineup again, including Kings of Leon, who are just outstanding live, and Weezer, Jimmy Eat World, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Rancid, Silver Sun Pickups, Airborne, Toxic Event, Cage the Elephant, White Lies, and more. If you know those bands and know their music, you'll have an advantage to try to win them at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to play a game called Kevin and Bean, yes, Whistle the Hits.
Oh, how dare you. Sell it, man. Sell it.
Hoping for some sort of a last-minute reprieve. I was like, hoping the phone would ring and it would be the governor saying we didn't have to do it after all. But in fact, Kevin and Bean whistled the hits. If you want to try to play, you can call now toll-free from anywhere, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number.
All right, time for the Afro line. This is our answering machine. You can call 24 hours a day at 323-520-AFRO and leave a message on any topic, including Lisa May's credibility.
What?
Every time there's a TV show that we talk about that no one's ever heard of, she watches it.
Well, that is true.
Brothers and Sisters and a bunch of other stuff. And we go, what? That show doesn't exist. And Lisa always, she's the one that watches them.
Okay, so Lisa May talks about TV shows that don't exist. She talks about Wawa, Noosa, insurance. Yeah, like that's real. And then you expect us to believe her when she says there's a microwave in the freaking number 3 lane. Come on.
Wow.
That's an excellent point. She does make stuff up, so how do you know when she does the traffic she's even telling the truth?
Well, microwaves are funny.
We've been trying for a while to figure out if Lady Gaga is hot or not.
Yes.
I believe we've come to the opposite conclusion.
The not conclusion?
Correct.
Lady Gaga, poker face. What is that when you miss her mouth?
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
She's really more of a butter face from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's, and I don't know if you've heard the remix, by the way, but Poker Face, I wish I remembered who did it. Kanye West was one of the people.
Kanye and Kid Cudi and Common, I believe, was the other.
They took that bet and her saying that and made a whole different song about
it. Oh, no kidding.
It's fantastic. The people love me.
Hey, Kevin, want to try something new? How about shutting the f*** up, huh? How about that? All right.
Yeah. We had Spencer and Heidi on from the Hills.
Mm.
And Psycho Mike, who does his impression of Spencer, got roundly slapped down.
Hey, player, let him keep hating, right? You know, as long as you're balling up in Hollywood, it's all good, right, Chief?
Isn't that illegal?
Doing
what,
a celebrity
doing
impression?
Nope.
No, like actually pretending that you are someone repeatedly. Yeah. People thinking that because my mom called or someone was like, Spencer was just on the radio.
Dio. That's not a good clip. But, yeah, isn't that illegal?
Sure, of course. Everybody knows celebrity impressions on a comedy show are illegal.
Hey, shoot this course! Isn't that illegal? Because my mom called or somebody.
That's my favorite part. My mom called or somebody. That guy, of course, doing an impression of the Florida Florida NHL announcer.
Yeah.
You want to hear some of him, Randy Mulder?
Here's a clip of that.
Comes Kreps down the right side. He's got Scratsons with him. Kreps fires a shot. Rebound. They score! Pour some sugar on me!
Different slogan for every goal.
He's and awesome.
This guy is, this woman is doing that as well.
He shoots, he scores! Deathbed, the bed that eats.
Yeah. There it is.
That's bad.
That could be the single worst movie of all time.
Nope. And we insist you see it.
Deathbed, the bed that eats.
He shoots, he scores! Being's kind of a perv, isn't he?
Bean was doing a commercial on Friday and started out with three or four Yo Mama jokes. That happened.
He did?
Last week.
Oh, Bean.
When was it? Thursday, Friday?
I missed that.
I think it was Thursday, yeah.
Really, Bean? Yo Mama jokes? Really? It wasn't funny when Wilmer Valderrama did it, and it's not funny when you do it. I got one for you. Yo Mama should have got an abortion.
Oh, wow. That's a little rough, don't you think?
Come on, it was my tribute to Mother's Day. That's what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just calling for a Miss Cleo update. I want to know if her boobs have gotten her any drinks, or if she's even used them, or if she's just still keeping them all tucked away. You know, people want to know these kind of things. Let us know. Pictures.
Pictures.
It's a great question. Miss Cleo answers the phones here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and she's got an enormous rack. I mean, she's very, very, very blessed. Yet she never gets free stuff as a result of that. It just we couldn't figure out why that was. So we spent, you know, a fair amount of time trying to teach her what to do. You know, put them on the glass and all that good stuff. Great tips. As far as I know, she's
tips
still walking around with getting nothing.
Tips. Yeah.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. She's not good at that.
She's hopeless.
So the answer is no. Psycho Mike, how many games has Manny Ramirez missed now?
Three out of 50,
Dodgers!
Manny? Oh.
And finally, Psycho Mike is Dewan, our favorite listener's party planner. A lot of people don't realize that. Psycho Mike did go over to his house one time.
Yes.
And he did a MTV Cribs style thing, and now Dewan called and said he wants to have a party. And okay. Mike's not even going to be able to go because he has to work, but he's planning Dewan's party for him. And Dewan called the Afro Line, and he has a couple of suggestions of things that Mike needs to make happen.
Hey, Mike. What's up? I'm Mr. Dewan. When you come to the party, can you bring some, like, some extra tape, a table, two tables?
Okay, so it's two tables.
All right.
Chairs.
Good.
Balloons. My favorite color for UCLA is blue and gold. All right.
Think he's done?
I should hope so.
No, a couple more things came to mind.
And probably you can bring your boombox with you to play some music.
All right. Bring your boombox to play some music. You have a boombox?
Okay. I don't know.
No, you don't. Is the answer to that.
And bring PlayStation 3.
Okay, so PlayStation 3. Does he have anything?
I don't know.
So what's happening here?
Like
tables and chairs, decorations, music, and something for the guests to do.
PlayStation 3, okay.
Right.
If you have a Nintendo Wii, you can bring one of the remote controls for that.
Okay, so a remote.
He'll let you bring that, too.
All right.
And you can bring board games.
Board games.
All right.
That is going to be a party.
Mike, do you have to bring guests, too?
Well, yeah. I was responsible for constructing the invite and inviting people.
From the second he asked him to do it, Psycho Mike has been receiving calls and stuff like that. And on Dwan's Facebook page, He's inviting a bunch of people. He's talking about this huge party that's happening. How is this
Dewan's
party?
You better come through, Mike.
I better, and I'm starting to get concerned because Dewan, I don't think, grasps the fact that he has, like, a 200-square-foot apartment.
Yeah.
And that if he keeps inviting 4,000 people on Facebook.
Well, you won't need two tables.
That's true.
Think of it that way. You can only bring one. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day if you'd like to leave us a message.
Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning.
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? You just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
All right, I sense a mocking tone on Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits, and we don't need you in here to muck up the waters, Ralph. We're going to be fine.
I'm not here to muck. I am here just to give one last plea, just in the name of common decency, in the name of all that is good. I'm asking you to reconsider and not play this game for tickets.
Because it's too good?
And that's not the problem.
Because it makes all the other games look bad?
That's not the problem with this particular situation.
You're afraid people
situation.
Are going to like it too much and they'll have to keep doing it?
It's going to end up, best case scenario, it's going to end up you two whistling on the radio. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
They're not even playing the show. They're not
the
even
two
good.
Of
they're
you,
not even
Kevin and Bean. Oh. Best case scenario, you will just whistle. You know, songs, and then people will try to guess what those songs are. That's the best that can come out of this, don't you see? Don't you understand?
When you put it that way, it does seem ill-advised in this game, doesn't it?
I'm begging you, just please, take this last chance to reconsider.
Your concerns have been noted. Why don't you just turn around and head for the door? Ladies and gentlemen, proud to present for the first time in many, many years, Kevin and Bean, Whistle the Hits.
Kevin and Bean, whistling the hits. They really suck ass at whistling.
All right, so we're going to whistle a song, and then you have to
Kevin and Bean.
Sorry, there's more.
Whistling the hits. Guess what they're whistling? You'll get the ticks.
I think we need to have Omar drug tested. Honestly.
What the hell was that?
Random drug tests in quotes, and just send someone right down to him.
It's not too late, guys. I'm telling you, after that intro, doesn't it make you give you pause? Maybe?
No, we're fine. We're moving on.
Now our whistling's going to sound good compared to that. That's why we do that.
April is on line two. She is the first contestant for Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits. Hi, April.
Hello.
All right, the game is as simple as it sounds. Is that a wacky cartoon voice, or do you really talk like that, April?
No, I talk like this. I'm sorry.
All right, don't be sorry. Yeah, right. You'll be sorry. There's plenty of time for being sorry after this bit is over.
How dare you? I'm going to whistle one of the songs that will be performed Saturday at the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2009. All you have to do is give us title and artist. Are you ready?
Ready.
No. I wish they had a song named that. That would be awesome.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
Gotta pick. Need an answer because we got to move on.
You know what? I'm sorry.
Oh. Buddy Holly. Somewhere out there is a Weezer fan who's dying to go to this show who is just screaming at the radio right now.
Yeah.
All right. Miguel on line five is the next contestant. Not too bad, right, Ralph? That wasn't too bad.
You whistled a song.
Right.
I'm telling you. That's what happened.
And
there.
She should have got it and didn't, though.
Yeah, but right. Still, it was whistling.
Miguel, you ready to play?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, right, here's your song. Kevin. It doesn't help me if you guys laugh. This is not like it's coming out. There you go. Easiest.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Easiest contest ever.
How's that?
How dare you not have already answered?
I know, right? What was I thinking?
What's the song? Oh, dude. That was a gimme. It was a throwaway.
Really?
Yeah.
It should have been thrown away. If that's what you mean.
Kings of Leon.
Horrible.
How dare you? Right. Just because we're 0-2 is not a reflection on our part, Ralph. I just don't want you to say that. All right. Is this Nilo? Did we talk to Nilo last week on line six? And now you're back? Did you win anything last time?
I need these tickets.
All right. Okay. So he's a former failure on another Kevin and Bean game. He's going to try again and whistle.
He lost once. He's back. He's putting all of his eggs in this basket, the whistling basket.
All right. Here we go. Whistling basket playing the side stage, by the way. Very excited. All right.
I could see why Ralph didn't like this segment.
Thank you, sir. Oh, someone doesn't know the answer, I guess. What's that
called?
No,
I don't.
Tile and Artist. Oh.
God,
Okay, bye.
All right, didn't sound
okay,
so pick up panic switch. Sort of like that.
All right.
0 for 3 so far.
No, good idea. I'm a big fan.
I'd like to give away a pair of tickets if you don't
game.
Mind.
Al?
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
Well,
good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Al.
We're playing a game that not a lot of people are getting.
Well, hopefully I can get this
one. All right, you ready? This is very simple. I'm going to nail it.
Pretty good.
Come on!
Pretty good.
Kings of Leon, you somebody?
Boom! It just takes some time, little girl, and a little hot girl. We were looking for Jimmy Eat World the middle there. All right, I'm saying sudden death. First person to get one wins the tickets. How about that?
I'm saying sudden death is what everyone's wishing for that's listening to this segment.
No one's guessed it yet. And
well, you know why? Because we should call it Kevin blows air into the microphone more than we should Kevin whistles the hits.
It is more exhaling than whistling. That's true.
Look, with Bean, we get a tone of some kind.
I am not standing by my whistling, but at least it can be heard. Kevin, his dogs are the only ones who can hear what he's
saying. Oh, that last one was brilliant.
All right, Ben on line 8. Ben, are you ready to be a champ here, man?
Sure.
All right, first person.
Sure, yeah. I'm a champ. Yeah.
First person then wins, gets it, wins, so good luck. All right, I think you're going to be all right with this one. Here we go. That's simple. Yes.
That's it,
but I've already kind of done that. We need you to fill in the blanks with title and artist.
Ralph is really right about this game.
Oh, come on. Hey, just because you can't identify an easy song. Come on. You were singing it.
Ruby Soho by Rancid. Come on, what do I have to do?
All right, let's move on.
It's a lot easier when you do know the songs, by the way, that you're
certainly.
Whistling.
This certainly,
is going to suck.
This one.
Are you ready for this? This is going
to
blow.
As opposed to the other ones that no one can get?
Through the roof bad.
This is going to be the worst one of the game.
Glad we saved it for the end, there.
Celia, sorry about that, but here you go.
This is horrible on every level.
All right, Celia.
Are you serious?
That's all she gets?
That's the song.
Come on.
That's all I know.
I'm going to just say 0, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It was yeah, yeah, yes.
But it was
maps. Yeah. Come on. I nailed that.
Having heard the hook of the song after Kevin sang it, it was pretty close, you guys.
Thank you.
It was pretty close.
Thank
close to
you.
What? What was it close to?
It sounded like the song. All right, we got to get a winner here because we got to move on. We got a very full show here. Who's next? Adam?
Yep, Adam, hi.
Yeah. All
right, no Adam. One has gotten it right yet. If you get it right, you get the tickets. Here we go. Think about all of the... All right, Bean. All right. Adam either knows it or doesn't. Let's not push it.
Let me do that. That's pretty good.
Adam?
Come on, man.
It's like a horny parrot.
Oh, dude.
Please don't suck.
Is it... Ah, dude. Is it Cage the Elephant?
I don't know what you said, but it wasn't I Love College by Asher Roth. I do know that.
Drink my beer and smoke my weed.
All right, one more.
No
more. Let's just put the tickets back into the prize closet, and maybe another lucky listener can guess what we're bowling for dollars next hour.
Imagine all the electronics and the high-quality microphones. Yeah.
This is a bit they stopped doing when they first invented radio. Marconi said, let's whistle. And they said, no, that's too lame.
All right, Chris.
I think that there are some listeners who should have gotten these, Ralph. I don't think it's all on us. I think we've had some poor contestants.
That's correct. Really you think that. All right. Chris, come on. Come through for us. That way we can do the game again tomorrow. You ready?
No!
are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Here's your song.
I got it by a Pork and Beans Weeper.
Yeah! Praise Allah!
Come on!
God! We
have a winner.
Yes, we
certainly do. Chris, and it's not the listeners, I'll tell you that. Chris, you've won not only tickets to see that band Weezer with Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Rancid, Silverstone Pickups, Airborne, Toxic Event, Cage the Elephant, Wild Eyes. How about some backstage passes to join us on Saturday, too? How about that?
We're throwing those in because she put up with our whistling?
That's right.
Not exactly. Enough. Not enough.
Good.
Kevin and Bean whistle in the hits. They really suck ass at whistling.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
As we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Star Trek, in its debut weekend, made $77 million at the box office.
Wow.
Ralph, who's that guy to your left?
Confused. This is a guy I found in the hallway, wandering the halls, mumbling something about a 29-point lead or something. I don't know what he was bitching about. This may be Matt Money Smith, our sports friend.
Hey, guys.
Nice to meet you, dude.
Yeah, I wanted to see face-to-face.
Welcome.
Kevin and Bean forcibly exhale the hits.
It was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, you know, we have affiliates now. We're syndicated. We got to bring the big stuff. Yeah.
I must be impressed.
That was for you, Phoenix. Please enjoy.
There's a program director who staked his job. No, Kevin and Bean are going to turn this station around.
No,
let's put them on.
They're great.
And the first morning, they got to hear whistling the hits.
Turns the radio on and hears...
That's how we roll, man.
How can you not get that?
Is that guy missing his front teeth? Who's the guy? Who's that guy? X-Men Origins Wolverine was number 2 at the box office. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past celebrated its third week at the box office by being number 3. Obsessed was 4. 17 again was 5. Next Day Air was number 6. Then The Soloist, Monsters vs. Aliens, Earth, and Hannah Montana. The movie rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, I don't know if you guys knew or not, but there was a big motion picture props and memorabilia auction that happened last week.
You hate that stuff, Ralph.
You know I have a little soft place in my heart for memorabilia.
What are you down? What are you down from the weekend? 30 G's?
No, I didn't. They didn't have any. Well, they did, actually. They had Adam West's original tunic and tights that he wore in the Batman TV series.
Wow.
Ralph,
think of the role-playing, Ralph.
Ralph is a huge fan of the 60s Batman TV show and has an entire room dedicated to the stuff.
Yeah, and I love collections. I love people who collect stuff, especially Hollywood memorabilia and things like that. They were a little pricey for me, a little out of my price range to buy Adam's actual tunics.
Do you know what it went for?
I don't know. But I got the results on some of the other items that were up for auction, which kind of blows my mind. Apparently, from the Batman and Robin movie with Schwarzenegger and George Clooney, his costume, Mr. Freeze's costume, sold for $72,000.
Wow.
Whoa.
Didn't that movie suck?
It sure did.
Yeah, it was one of the worst.
But that was a really cool costume. Remember, it was powered by diamonds and it glowed, had like a blue
the
glow
bulb,
to it.
Yeah.
The original Gillman mask from The Creature of the Black Lagoon. Remember the Universal 50s monster movie about the Creature of the Black Lagoon?
Sure.
The mask that the guy wore went for $84,000.
Wow. What is happening?
I wonder if our friend Bobby Slayton bought that. You know, that's his collection.
Yeah, he loves
Creature of the Black Lagoon stuff, yeah.
An original 1931 Frankenstein poster for the movie Frankenstein sold for $216,000.
Wow.
That's a piece of paper, a poster.
Yeah, well, that's a piece of art. You know, you
sure
put that
is.
Right there and you're...
Good thing, the economy is rolling along strong for
but
all of these people.
But the big winner for the auction was the gun that Harrison Ford used to kill androids in Blade Runner. One of the most iconic sci-fi movies of all time, Blade Runner.
Right.
Harrison Ford's gun, his blaster gun, sold for $270,000.
Wow.
For a prop. Pretty impressive.
To me, Han Solo.
It was not Han Solo.
Wasn't the one that shot Greedo?
It was Rick Decker.
Ah.
Rick Deckard, Blade Runner. Michael Jackson, speaking of the economy, could single-handedly bail out the struggling British economy. His 50 sold-out dates at London's O2 Arena are on track, according to economists, to bring in more than $2 billion into London.
$2 billion?
$2 billion will be spent in that city during his 50 sold-out dates in London's O2 Arena. This means people getting hotel rooms, eating in restaurants, buying stuff in shops, pubs, anything else people may spend money on when they come to town to see a big musical event like this will bring in approximately $2 billion worth of economy to London.
Wow.
Michael Jackson paying the cops to look the other way. There's a certain amount of money there.
Oh, stop it!
Just saying.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
All right.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final.
All right.
This is The final curtain call. All right. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it.
Is he going to add other dates?
This is it.
I know, but.
This is it.
He said that after 10, and then he said that after 20.
This is it.
Right, I know. This but is he going to do a world tour just this?
Apparently, from that story, London wishes he would. I bet they wish he'd play there year-round.
Yeah.
Bringing an extra $2 billion of economy into that city.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Today's celebrity birthdays, nobody really worth mentioning, except for former USC quarterback, currently with your Arizona Cardinals. He is Matt Leinart. He is 26 years old today.
He's what we call a practice quarterback.
He holds the clipboard for the Arizona Cardinals.
Tries to stay warm on the sidelines.
That's right.
See him jogging in place every now and then.
That's what Matt's doing these days. You know, he's calling Sanchez saying, you should have stayed in school,
the scourge of the Tri-Delt house.
It sucks out here. It sucks out here, man. So much cooler to see. I could bang anybody.
Yeah.
Now I got this old dude in the head of me, and his wife's got, like, scary white hair.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning, 1 hour from right now. You get to talk to the other side. I'm talking about people who are dead. We've got a medium coming in. Also, more chances for you to win the K-Rock Weenie Rose D-Fiesta 2009 tickets. First, though, how about syndicated sports radio host Matt Money Smith and the co-author of the great book of Los Angeles Sports List. Money, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you? Thanks, guys. Good to be back. Yeah.
Woo! So, you were just sad? You
Money whistles the scores!
You were just sad you couldn't be at the game in person yesterday in Houston, huh, to see your beloved Los Angeles Lakers not show up.
Yeah, I got a free pass on that one. Was supposed to be there, but luckily had the weekend off. I guess I'll be going back for game six, though, so I can witness the carnage. I'm sure the Rockets are going to lose another three or four guys, and that will mean they beat the Lakers by 30 points.
Yeah, the more they lose, the worse the Lakers play.
They have lost. They lost their leading scorer,
Tracy McGrady.
Mm-hmm. Went on to win 53 games, yep. Or 53 games, and then lost Yao Ming, their leading scorer in the playoffs, and beat the Lakers. We're up by close to 30 points at one point.
I think so, it ended up it was 200 points.
Yeah,
they beat them.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Rick Adelman's just gonna try one dude out there, probably figure out who, maybe just Brian Cook, worst guy on the active roster, and Cookie will outscore the Lakers 150-2.
I know it's impossible to put in just a few words what goes wrong in a game like that when obviously you've got a team that's way better than what we saw on the court yesterday. But what happens? What went so wrong in your opinion?
I can answer that. They didn't play defense.
There's a couple things. I mean, that's part of it. The Lakers, for the entire season have lacked focus at times, hence them having been swept by the Charlotte Bobcats and, you know, losing to a Utah Jazz team that they probably should have beaten four games, losing to the Rockets in game one. To me, that is all a focus issue, an effort issue. One of the things I said before the series started, and I think we talked about it here, is, you know, one thing about the Rockets is they play defense, and basketball teams that play defense, because so few actually do, mm-hmm. will always be in games. They'll always be competitive because, you know, if their shot's not falling, hey, they're playing great defense and they're making it awful tough for the opponent to score. And that's what happened yesterday. You know, they made life tough on the Lakers. The Lakers had no interest in playing D, and the Rockets ran roughshod over them.
But why 5 minutes into the game when you can see that that's what's going on? And look at what a fast start the Rockets got off to. I mean, I think they're up by 17 in the first, the first 10 minutes. But why doesn't Phil Jackson say, hey, guys, how about a little defense? Why can't he motivate them at that point to do something about it?
That's a good question, you know, and that's something that's been brought up with Phil quite a bit this season is, you know, and that
hey,
goes
how
back,
about coaching?
Well, that goes back to, you know, game one. And he came out and opened his press conference. And we have some sound from his press conference yesterday where he was a little bit more animated. after the first game and they lost, he opened the press conference with, well, I wasn't surprised. You know, I can't say I was surprised by that. And he just kind of left it in general terms. So after about a question or two, it came back to me and I said, well, what do you mean you weren't surprised? What didn't surprise you? Because I would think if you weren't surprised, you would make some adjustments.
Say something.
And be ready to not be surprised if you knew that's what was going to happen. And he kind of took the same approach yesterday. Opened with, well, I told you, you know, this is a dangerous team. You know, it's a wounded animal.
Please.
That the old wounded animal will fight to the death and give you its best licks right before death.
And that makes us not play defense?
I guess. Well, defense, you know, to some degree, defense is on the players. It's exerting that effort. It's not like, I mean, look, there are guys that have a great knack for playing defense, that know how to block shots, that know how to move laterally and stay in front of guys. But for the most part, these dudes are so athletic anybody can play defense if they decide.
If they want to, yeah.
They're going to waste their energy or expend their energy on that end of the floor instead of trying to, you know, rack up 60 points and getting a fat contract out of it. But, you know, after the game yesterday, Phil, again, you know, if you'll play, took the same approach of, oh, I knew this was coming.
There's absolutely no surprise. But
isn't this embarrassing, though?
Are you embarrassed? Are we embarrassed? No, we're not embarrassed.
I'm wondering if you are the coach of this.
No, Houston played a great game. You give them some credit, I mean, for real. I mean, this kid Brooks played great tonight. He was terrific off the floor. They played well.
Yeah. A little F action there.
Yeah, how about that?
Don't see that very often.
No, you really don't. He doesn't use the, well, he does during the games, but not in the press conference.
They did play well, but how about, I don't know, say making somebody step in front of them so that there's a little bit of it was ridiculous.
Derek Fisher's old.
Yeah?
He's old.
Yeah?
And Aaron Brooks is, well, I mean, he's a weird-looking dude.
That's
so I think
why
sometimes
in the NBA,
you're playing D, you get caught just looking at him going,
sure.
Man, is that guy weird-looking? And next thing you know, he's at the basket. But D. Fish is slow.
Okay, and that's why you have help.
And old.
Yeah.
And Aaron Brooks is young.
Yeah.
And fast.
Well.
And young and fast beats slow and old every time. And that happened an awful lot in that game yesterday.
It did.
You know, we all love D. Fish. He's one of the best dudes, one of the best athletes I've ever had the great pleasure of covering and you know, working with on the Lakers. But he looks old, yeah. And there's no two ways to slice that.
So 2-2. It's the series is tied at 2-2.
Tied at 2. You know, Kurt Rambis said, said to us about a week ago. He said, "Look, home court advantage is all about Game 7." He's like, "It's not about, you know, you lose it, you can get it back." He's like, "It is all about having that seventh game on your home court." You know, you saw it with the Celtics last season. First round with the Hawks goes to Game 7. They blow them out in Game 7. You saw it with the Cavs. You know, second round goes to Game 7. They go back to Boston and get those calls that they need at the end of the game to win.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, and I think that's kind of the one thing the Lakers have going for them is they have one goal, and that is to win a championship, not to blow people out on the way. That was last year. Last year was let everybody know that you're the real deal and you didn't just get here by a fluke, and they rolled themselves into the NBA Finals and then lost, you know, whereas the Celtics' goal was we've got these three old guys, and if we don't win it this year, we may never have that opportunity again. And all they wanted to do was get to the Finals, and that's when they gave it their best shot.
Now, this year, the Celtics' Magic 2-2, right?
Yeah, old Fatty yesterday.
Fatty. Old that's the fattest
fatty,
guy
fat,
in the
fatty.
League.
Yeah, he's fat.
He's fat.
He's not big boned.
Right.
His mama cannot kid him into thinking that he's big boned. He is fat and fleshy and jiggly and bouncy as he gets up and down that court. And he's so fat, it's, you know, you would think he'd
How fat is he?
He's so fat that when he hits the court, I don't know, you would think a guy like that would want to, you know, whip his weight around close to the basket.
Right.
But he shoots 20-foot fadeaway jumpers.
Yeah.
And then crushes poor kids when he's celebrating up the sideline. If you want to watch a great replay, look at that game-winning shot and then the ensuing celebration as he runs up the sideline and doesn't realize how wide he is.
How fat he is.
It's kind of like, you know, you rent that truck from U-Haul and you're used to driving your Toyota Yaris and you pull into a tight alley and next thing you know, you've completely lost the side view mirrors.
What did he do to the kid?
Oh, he blew up this little kid as he was running with his hip. As he was running up with his birthing hips, he launched that kid.
Probably didn't even
three
feel
feet
it.
into the stands.
Oh man,
that well, guy's
they,
fat.
They lower him into the arena too. I heard. By the way, he can't even come into the
helicopter.
Denver's up 3-0. Cleveland's up 3-0.
They look great. Yeah. Both of those teams look great.
And let me ask you about that money, because one of the announcers on the TNT team yesterday said, hey, even if the Lakers get past the Rockets, they're still only the third best team in the playoffs right now. And
the way they're playing.
Denver and Cleveland. Do you agree?
Denver is playing great. You know, we saw this last year with Boston. Boston, talented players, you know, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, but never had a leader. Same with Denver. Carmelo Anthony, Olympian, great scorer. Kenyon Martin, number one overall pick. Nene, you know, good big man.
Good
J.R. Smith off. Yeah, exactly. Those Brazilians. Great ass, too, like all the Brazilians. J.R. Smith off the bench, instant scoring, and they needed a leader. And they got Chauncey Billups, an NBA Finals MVP, a guy that plays defense, professional, and he has completely changed the culture of that team, and they are a nightmare.
And then when it gets to the finals, Cleveland, who do they have, you know?
Yeah, they look like the Globetrotters, and every other team in the East looks like the Generals right now. It really is that it is that lopsided in those games. It's almost borderline uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
They ought to just get a free pass. You know what happened yesterday, by the way, 2 days ago in the Mavericks Nuggets game.
Right.
So, you know, big mess at the end of the game. I don't know if you saw the way this unfolded. Intentional foul. So Denver has even less time to get a shot off to win the game. Refs didn't call it. Mark Cuban.
It was a terrible call.
Wacky billionaire owner apparently walking off the floor. Kenyon Martin, who is a Nugget, is from Dallas. His mother was in one of the front rows in the stands.
Oh, no.
Cuban stops in front of his mother and says, "Your son's a punk.
Oh.
Your son's a thug." And then walked off the court.
Is that like, before or after he pushed or shoved the cameraman?
I think that was after he shoved the cameraman.
Yeah.
Then he sought out Mrs. Mama Kenyon Martin. Your son's a punk!
That is a Mother's Day gift that no one will ever be able to match.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Mrs. Martin.
Your son's a punk.
Your son's a thug!
Hey, Matt Money Smith is here. We're going to take a quick break when we return. We want to talk about hockey. We want to talk about baseball. There's a lot of stuff going on. And we need some sort of drug test from you before you go, too, as a matter of fact. We just got a little amped up today. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean Show is on the air. Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, and can be heard nationwide. What are you, mostly afternoons and evenings, I guess, across this great land of ours?
Yeah. Four to seven here in L.A., which means 7 to 10 on the East Coast. But, you know, some of them folks out there in South Carolina, I'm calling you to complain about that there Petros and Money Show. I've never heard
some of that, do you?
The B word on the air so many times.
By the way, Kevin, I know you've looked at Matt's book that he wrote with Steve Hartman, The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports List. Did you see the chapter, the top 10 reasons why the Kings will never win a Stanley Cup? Did you see that one? And did it hurt you?
Yes.
But you agree, right? You concur. Number one, Phil Anschutz. The guy's dumped more money into a soccer midfield than he has his entire Kings roster.
He's not.
He's attended more Major League Soccer games than he has attended Kings, and he's owned the Kings five times as long.
He's not itching to spend money, if that's what you're saying.
He's a D-bag.
let's talk about some of the teams that are still in the hunt for the Cup this year. Who has surprised you? Who do you like so far, Money?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. It has been one of the best hockey playoffs in recent memory. As wacky as it may sound, if you're not watching that Pittsburgh-Washington, D.C. series, you really are missing out. Alexander Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby, they do not like each other. They are two of the great scorers in the game. Evgeny Malkin, also on the Pittsburgh Penguins, a great player. They have been going back and forth. You know, Ovechkin had a freaking hat trick over the weekend and his team lost.
Yeah.
And it really has been enjoyable. The Blackhawks-Vancouver Canucks series has been great. Yesterday, the Ducks, you know, they were competitive for a period and a half, and then it just kind of slurred for two periods, and it just kind of slipped away from them. But that's been a very violent series, which I always enjoy. You know, one of the things that still surprises me in hockey is not the fighting, but the physical contact that goes nowhere. Like, think about you're just walking down the street, right, or whatever. You're in an argument with a friend, and he just puts his hand on your face and just holds it there.
Right.
And starts moving it around, is pushing your face a little bit. It's just his wide open hand. They do this 500 times a game, and dudes just figure, standard practice.
Yep.
Not a big deal. That guy's hand is on my face, and he's pushing it around, and I don't care.
Really, elbow and shove and push, and it's
but
rough.
Open hand on the face. You know?
They call very little now in the playoffs. They let them do it. So
No doubt. It's been very entertaining. I still think the Red Wings are the team to beat. The Bruins, who were the one seed in the East, have had a tough go against the Hurricanes, and I doubt they get out of that. But it has been wildly entertaining, to say the least. And the Kings aren't part of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
As you predicted in your book. Whatever happened to that very exciting young Dodger player named Manny Ramirez? I didn't catch him this weekend
I'm
did.
I'm not familiar with this man of who you speak. Well, it's not pretty. And the latest wrinkle to the story of Manny getting suspended 50 games for taking HCG, which Mike can probably give us a better idea of what the hell it is. Human chorionic gonadotropin, I believe. Did I get it right?
Yeah. Wow.
Woo! Yeah.
But it's not
who knows their sports? I do. That's what I have to do now to know sports, to be a host on Sports Talk Radio.
To be a chemist.
But it's not a steroid, and it's not a human growth hormone.
No,
right?
I guess it's I just got off the roids, and I've got to get my body to start producing testosterone naturally again. Or it's a cutting-edge male enhancement
which
drug.
Which is what he's claiming.
That's what he's claiming.
Right.
Which I'll tell you what, those
are bad choices if you've got to pick one of those to go on TV and claim.
You know, if that's what you're going to come with, you say, look, I really don't want to tell anyone that that's why I'm using it, but that's why I'm using it. I mean, you could really create, drum up some sympathy,
sure,
and maybe get away with it. The owner of the Dodgers, Frank McCourt, who he really likes PR. He really thinks he's good at PR, but he's not good. He's had a lot of missteps in the public relations world, and he's trying to insist that Manny be culpable and face his teammates and face the public.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. What obligation does he have to talk to his teammates?
He's got none.
But do you think he should? Doesn't it seem like he should say something to the guys that you're sharing?
Here's what I think happened. Like I said, because Frank McCourt is so obsessed with public relations, he is fixated on the Andy Pettit approach to testing positive. Remember, all this stuff came out. Andy Pettit was included in the Kurt Radomski, who was the clubhouse guy for the Mets that bought a bunch of players, a bunch of juice. And his name came up, and Andy just held a press conference and said, look, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. I was hurt. I took it to try to get back earlier to help my teammates. Looking back on it, I wish I hadn't, and I will have to face my kids and God and all, you know, and everyone was like, that Andy Pettit's a pretty stand-up guy,
right,
you know? Whereas everybody else, no, you can't prove anything. So Frank wants Manny to take that approach.
Right.
But I did it. I'm sorry. I want to perform. I signed this big contract.
Well,
we got so close.
That's what I'm thinking. The other part is these other guys that aren't making anywhere near what he's making. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they already might harbor some kind of resentment about that, and now that he's not playing 50 games, he probably should look him in the eye and say,
yeah, and that's what I think Frank wants, because it's much more effective than statement released by agent that is written in better English than Manny could ever spit out.
Right. You know,
so
it's not coming from him.
Yeah, they want honesty and sincerity, and they're just not going to get it. You know, it's and as far as the other guys are concerned, you know, I mean, look, it's so rampant, and I hate to do that and just general sweeping generalization of baseball players, but you know, when you hear numbers like 50%, I'd say, you know, double it and subtract a percent. You know, I mean, it is that, it's that gnarly, I think, in that sport.
They all use it, but figure out a way to not
right,
show
not get caught.
Let me ask you this. Fast forward to July 3rd or whenever it is that Manny has his first game back. What will the reaction from the fans be?
Just Orale with Manny!
Relief that he's back?
Oh, yeah.
Or will he lose some of the luster as one of the most popular sports figures in Los Angeles?
No, I think he'll be welcome with open arms. He's a very likable guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just self-deprecating humor, great smile, just relaxed.
But the cheating doesn't hurt your image anymore, then.
I think they're so used to
it. Widespread.
I think they're so used to it now that they just want. Look at Alex Rodriguez, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, first pitch,
home
first
run.
Swing, 3-run homer, difference in the game. Everyone's happy. Welcome back, you weird permatan, purple lipstick wearing freak, you know? But
yeah,
you hit that home run, so all is well.
Any way they can spice up baseball, I'm for. I think they should all have to take steroids.
You know what? I think you may have that, Kev. I think that's worked out for you.
You guys want to settle your bet here today?
I have offered, you know, we make a bet, Bean and I every year make a bet that the between the Mariners and the Angels, who has the better record and who will go farther in the playoffs.
Yes.
50 slaps on the ass for each. And, you know, I have won every single year by taking the Angels. And I have told Bean, when the Mariners were up 4.5 games on the Angels, that I would reduce that to 20 slaps were he to just pay up right now. And he said no. And, of course, the Mariners are falling apart and the Angels are getting healthy.
You say slaps because, of course, betting money would be illegal.
It sure
would. I am not going to sell out my club, and I am going to just remain hopeful. There's a lot of baseball still
to play. No, Bean, everybody listening thought that we actually slapped each other on the ass. That was the bet. Woo! I can't wait to slap Bean 20 times.
I don't want it to turn seriously into a gay thing. I don't want people to misunderstand.
Listen, I like it too, maybe.
No, I'm not going to settle today.
Mariners are falling apart. Angels are getting
healthy.
I'll
see you in the playoffs.
What a great game, by the way, on Saturday night. If you like that, they're pitching that Joe Saunders, who had a very interesting approach, by the way, when asked about Alex Rodriguez in the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should go to the All-Star game ever. Well, you mean this year, right? No, I mean ever. Okay, I guess Joe Saunders is clean.
All right, great.
Yeah, so the Angels are coming alive. The Dodgers have been struggling, of course, and understandably so since Manny's departure, but it all evens out.
There's nothing better than when the Mariners fall apart, though, and Bean falls apart as well with them.
I can't believe they made that call on Kenji Jojima.
It does
so
me.
Awesome.
All right, we're out of time. Matt Money Smith heard weekday afternoons on KLAC here in Southern California and all over the country, wherever you happen to be listening. Thanks for coming in, Money. When we return, by the way, we're going to catch up with the Donald. Last night was the Celebrity Apprentice
finale.
Oh,
was that great?
We'll hear what he has to say about all 3 hours of it when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Last night, speaking of big television events, 3-hour season finale of The Celebrity Apprentice. Our friend Donald J. Trump joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Don.
The greatest 3-hour television program ever on NBC that wasn't the Super Bowl.
Donald, does that show have to be 2 hours every week and 3 hours last night? It seems like
it should have been 5 hours last night.
It seems like
we
you're padding.
That much entertaining programming to pack into 3 hours.
Mm.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you didn't see it.
I did not, no.
Well, the entire show took place at the Museum of Natural History in New York.
Okay.
That's how big a scene we needed to put this show on. And as I introduced Joan Rivers, I was walking past a giant dinosaur. And as I was talking about Annie Duke, I walked past a giant shark. It all tied in.
Sure.
But, Don, here's what I don't get. Weren't there only two contestants left? Wasn't it just Joan versus Anne and the whole thing could have been decided in 15 minutes?
No, because I had to show their final challenge, which was to plan a VIP party to raise money for their charity.
Okay.
And these were two giant parties that took a lot of work. So I had to bring back some other contestants to give them a hand. I brought back Clint and Melissa and Herschel for Joan and Dennis Rodman, Tom Green, and Brandy for Anne.
What? I thought they were all kicked off.
They were, but they needed some people to work for them because it was such a big task.
Oh.
So most of the cast came back. Khloe Kardashian couldn't make it back because there's not enough room in the Museum of Natural History for her thighs. So we had to leave her out.
Okay.
But they started the task together, and I'll tell you, Joan Rivers took this very seriously.
I am very competitive, and I want to win, and you're damn right I'm going to duke it out. Because to me, it's good versus evil.
And only one woman could make Joan Rivers look like the good one.
Wow.
And that's Annie Duke. She is a bitch.
Wow, really?
I'll tell you something. We had a party planner for these girls to use for their VIP parties who was so bad that Joan asked someone else to come in and help.
Yeah.
So they got so insulted by that they quit. They said, we don't want to work on Celebrity Apprentice. And Annie Duke took that personally.
It was a war before this happened. Now I am going to crush her like nothing you've ever seen.
She almost said, crush her like something that's going to be crushed. I really wanted to hear her say that. But she held Joan Rivers responsible for the fact that person quit and told everyone who would listen behind Joan's back how bad she was.
Joan Rivers made the event planner quit.
Joan Rivers, who has been despicable to me.
Joan Rivers pissed the event planner off on the other side of the aisle.
Joan Rivers pissed them off so much.
Because Joan Rivers is a despicable human being.
Well, Annie hates Joan.
Really? So do we.
Almost as much as Annie loves Annie. Because she decided she was going to put the whole task on her back.
The only thing that I have going for me is I literally, like, know everybody on Earth.
Yes, literally.
Literally?
Literally. She knows everybody on Earth.
Wow.
She may not know what literally means, though.
Now, meanwhile, Joan was trying to raise money for her.
How much this woman has to go down tomorrow.
Yes.
You do realize that, right?
Yes.
We now have to humiliate this woman, Aishat. This woman needs to die.
I haven't heard anyone talk like that about Joan Rivers since Kevin talked to her daughter.
How dare you?
And insisted that she die.
How dare you?
The thing is, Annie Duke is a bitch. And even her own people don't like working for her, including Tom Green. So he took every opportunity he could to make her crazy with this whole Joan Rivers thing.
She really got under your skin.
But you know what? Why?
All you do is talk about Joan.
Do you know why?
Because all you do is talk about her.
You want to know something?
Got under your skin.
Giving her the business the whole time. It was excellent. Largely because I think Tom was upset that she wouldn't let him do his job. He was asked to edit some video. He did it, and she didn't like it and kept screaming at him. And Tom Green, who actually has made videos in the past, wasn't too pleased.
Just don't really want to get into it with her because, you know, I don't care, you know? It's like a poker player yelling at me.
That's funny.
Well, the good thing about Annie is she doesn't know how to ask anyone for anything. She's very demanding and very obnoxious.
Yeah.
I need my charity pamphlets right now.
I need a dark fur frame. I need pens for the auction. I need my Pamela Anderson picture.
I need this off of here.
I need power. I need help.
You need a less grating voice.
Wow, she is annoying.
She is hell.
Wow.
She truly is the evil of good versus evil.
But how can Joan Rivers be the good?
That's what I'm saying.
That's not possible.
Joan Rivers came off looking so good in this show, also because of her charity. which is she brings food to housebound AIDS patients in New York City, which really is an honorable cause.
Sure, sure.
And Joan feels very, very personally involved about this. I was surprised at how emotional she got about how much money she raised for her charity.
At the end of the party, I looked around. I thought this has been one of the happiest moments of my life because it was incredible. And whether I win or lose, I won because it put my whole charity into a whole different league for us.
Joan was concerned about her charity. Annie was concerned about Annie and beating Joan.
Yeah.
So right. At the end of the night, I really only had one decision to make.
Annie, do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I have no idea.
I'm going to say, Annie, you're fired. Joan, congratulations.
The best part about the evening was that Annie thought I was going to hire her as the Celebrity Apprentice. So when I said fired, she actually jumped up in her chair a little bit.
She did?
Until she realized it was an F for fired, not an H for hired.
That's the best.
It was hilarious. I love watching people's dreams get crushed.
So when's the next Apprentice?
We just got picked up for our 9th season.
Oh,
so we'll see
wow.
you next year.
Can you make all of the episodes 3 hours?
4 hours a night.
All right. 7:54. We have a woman coming into the studio next who talks to dead people.
Hmm. Okay.
If you believe that kind of
My
thing.
My uncle used to do that.
Yeah?
He would just wander through a cemetery drunk. Just,
no, no.
Hey, you're dead, you a-hole.
She is very much not drunk, but talks to dead people.
Oh, you mean dead people talk to her?
Yeah, she's
See,
a leader.
That's the more interesting part. Because anybody can talk to dead people.
Yeah,
but
smart.
To get them to answer, then you win.
Plus, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up next. Our first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a weekend just passed. What's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have a little announcement to make.
Okay.
It isn't easy for me, but I think the listeners have been loyal enough to me over the years and have responded to me in so many positive ways, I feel I owe them the truth.
About what?
I like Joan Rivers.
Asshole!
What?
I've been watching The Celebrity Apprentice. I heard you guys talking about it. And I watched The Celebrity Apprentice this season. And I think she is a pretty cool old lady.
Ralph is the guy.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Who?
I still think she did a horrible job on the red carpet and was abysmal and not funny in the least.
But you used to have such venom.
It was her.
I mean,
her
she was
work,
so unprepared.
Her work on those shows was infuriating. But having seen this side of her and following her this season in Celebrity Apprentice, she seems like a pretty cool old lady.
But what about all the times her and her daughter were so obnoxious on the show?
Dude, I think her daughter's still obnoxious.
Yes, she
is. But I think Joan has a lot on the ball. I think she's had a long career. She's 60, 76 years old or whatever she is, and she really is still sharp and works hard and knows what she's doing. She knows what's going on. And she's amazingly dedicated to this charity, which really, you know, brings out a personal side of her I never knew
What
before.
Have you done with Ralph?
I'm telling you.
I hate to pile on, Kevin, but I've said since this Celebrity Apprentice began that I've been every week impressed with Joan Rivers, with the job that she does, and the kind of person that she is, with the exception of that she takes everything a little too personally, gets a little too emotional.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think she has really impressed me this season.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Come on. You didn't see it, Kevin. It would change your
I
life.
I saw a lot of the season.
It would change your
no.
life. But
no.
But that Annie Duke is a bitch.
Yeah, she's
yeah,
horrible.
She is.
She's a horrible person.
Yeah.
But
so I'm going to switch all my hatred for Joan Rivers. I'm going to start throwing it on Annie Duke.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
But if you were Donald Trump or anyone hiring an actual assistant, wouldn't you rather have somebody like Annie Duke working for you than somebody
no.
like Joan Rivers in terms
no,
of getting the job done?
No, here's the thing. Because I would never be able to trust her because she would be saying to me, I really love you, boss. And then she'd be on the phone with all the people I work with. Selling me out, selling me down the
yeah,
river.
Yeah, well,
you mean
that's
with
a good
the
point.
Entire world that she literally
well, she
knows?
She does know everyone on Earth. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally. So
Joan is a little more straight up than that. You are right about that. Yeah.
So I think she's just too two-faced, too conniving, too backstabbing. You wouldn't be able to trust her.
Wow.
And that's important in the business world.
I never thought I would care about a Donald Trump show.
I don't know.
Years later, but that was a pretty good run this time.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Okay, we get it. You disagree. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Star Trek, as expected, crushed the competition. $76.5 million made it number one by far. X-Men Origins Wolverine, though, very respectable numbers for number two, $27 million. Ghost of Girlfriends Past was number three, then Obsessed, 17 again. Next Day Air was number 6, then The Soloist, Monsters vs. Aliens, Earth at number 9, and Hannah Montana the Movie, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Proof that even God doesn't want to hear Amy Winehouse sing. She was on stage this weekend at the St. Lucia Jazz Festival in the Caribbean, on that island she now calls home. She was up on stage performing, and she seemed, onlookers said, distracted.
Really?
Yeah. Confused. Everyone used every word possible except with loaded, which is what I'm sure she was.
Allegedly.
She forgot her lyrics to the songs while she was singing.
Excellent.
Which makes for an entertaining evening. And at one point flashed her panties at the crowd before walking off the stage saying, "Sorry, I'm bored."
Really?
Wow. Sorry, I'm bored.
Shortly thereafter, the skies opened up, said concertgoers, and started pouring, and the concert was canceled shortly thereafter.
God, I love it.
God just said enough. All right, enough with this whole thing. This whole thing is
she's
a gonna sham.
She's going to get smited or smoot or smote or whatever
smitten
she's...
Or smited or smited.
I think it's smoot.
Smocked. Anyway, thank God she was wearing panties, said some concert goers.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine she went to Flash and there was no panties.
Oh,
you'd have a,
stop it.
You'd have an outbreak of blindness
stop
on
it.
The island of St. Lucia.
Oh, that's ugly.
God, she's like famous.
Yeah. Okay, Rodney, she's like famous. And we may know the reason between the...
What?
Let me try that again. We may know the reason for the Sean Penn-Robin Wright Penn divorce.
Ooh, tell me.
According to Star Magazine, that reason has a name. Natalie Portman.
Hell yeah!
Dude.
Really?
The two were spotted, Sean Penn, that is, and Natalie Portman, making out on March 17th at a Hollywood event. I remember talking about that story, but apparently they've been seeing each other secretly ever since.
Oh.
Robin found out, and although the magazine says that Robin has forgiven Sean some indiscretions in the past, this time she was furious. Especially because he was messing around with such a young girl. So this was the last straw, and that's why they are getting divorced this time.
Guilty!
Natalie Portman. The cause of the divorce.
Lisa, if you had the opportunity to date Sean Penn, would you?
No.
Too wacky.
Too
much zaniness. Too much fun. Making all those faces. And...
Like, he's like an older Tom Green. He's just got to rein
it in. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, enough.
Times 10.
Pulling the faces and the mugging.
Yeah,
and,
it would be exhausting with all that comedy.
The tape
the
over his face.
The underwear.
See Sean Penn with that tape over his face. He pulls his nose up and everything. It's just, okay, we get it. You're hilarious.
You got to be serious sometimes.
Come on.
You know?
Yeah.
Straighten up and fly right,
That's it.
A little gravity would not hurt the situation. That's all we're saying, Sean. And he could comedy it up and go all Spicoli on him.
That's
be good.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, some people not really that famous. Tomorrow we'll do better.
It's a pretty lame day for birthdays.
I'm not even going to do
how
it.
How about some love for the minister, Louis Farrakhan? How about that?
How about some love for Mr. Louis Farrakhan? Sorry. Hey, look, I just forgave Joan Rivers. There's only so much love in my heart.
Yeah.
I can't give any to Louis Farrakhan today.
Maybe another day.
Maybe another day I'll give him a little love.
All right.
How about some love? How about some love for Adolf Hitler? Where's he from? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Kevin and Bean Show on Monday morning. You sounded like you couldn't believe we were playing that song either, Kevin.
That's
Modest Yahoo right there. Congratulations to Luis Diaz. He won tickets via text messaging last hour for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2009. You'll have a chance to do it a little more old school this hour. We'll give you a chance to call in and win those in just a few minutes. It's been a long time since we've had our next guest on. She is Suzanne Northrup. She has got a new TV show called The Afterlife on something called Here TV, which I want to start right there, Suzanne, and say you're making up. There's no such thing as a Here TV.
Yeah, there is, actually.
What is that?
What's
that
all about? It's a network that's in 96 cities and in the top 18 of 20 markets.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah. It's a new network that started in 2002.
Okay.
It's owned by Regents Media, and they happen to this year won the Foreign Film Award, which is actually pretty cool. And 10 years ago, they won the Academy Award for Monster...
Monsters.
Monsters Ball?
Monsters.
Gods and Monsters?
Yeah. Gods and Monsters. Thank
oh, okay.
you. So they started a...
I don't really need that much background on the network, but the show that you're doing is called The Afterlife, and if I remember correctly from your previous appearance on the shows, you talk to and have the dead people talk to you. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Still doing that.
I am still doing
haven't
that.
Haven't run out of dead people to talk
no,
to yet.
No, that's the thing about it. You never run out of dead people. That's the whole thing. You know. You never,
so here's an update. Last time you were in and the time before, we didn't believe you. And now I'm prepared to say, because I'm a big person, I'm prepared to admit that we still don't believe you. That's how big I am.
That's cool.
Okay. All right.
You're doing, you've been doing seances? I know you wrote one of your books was about seances.
That was actually my first book.
I think seems old school. I mean, the seance seems like something you used to hear about a lot, but they don't really do anymore.
You're actually right. Traditional seances do not really happen very much anymore. Most mediums work either as psychic mediums or they work as mediums, but they don't do traditional seances.
What does the word medium mean? It means you can go between?
Yes, medium, small, medium, large, right? It's like an in-between thing. That's quite literal. Yes.
Oh, okay. So between dead and alive.
Right. That's what you're acting as the, you know, the conduit, so to speak. Yeah.
What do you think of the popular NBC Medium series, and does it ring true at all with what you do, Suzanne?
I would say that the Medium series, interesting enough, you're talking about the show The Medium, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I'll tell you a little tidbit about that.
Okay.
You know, Alison Dubois, when she's involved technically with the science stuff,
mm-hmm.
well, that is for real. And I was actually part of that original study.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was an HBO special called Life After Life that Linda Ellerbe did. And what she did is basically she was wanted to debunk mediums. I mean, that was really the reason why it happened.
Right.
And so five mediums got put together. We got sent out to Tucson, Arizona to do this, you know, this testing, you know, the wires to the head, the whole kind of nine yards to prove it existed. And we got a pretty high accuracy rate on
no
it.
Kidding.
So that was really interesting. So from that, we were the original. There was a team of us, George Anderson, John Edward, me, and Gaiman and Lord Campbell. There was five of us. It was the first study of its kind.
Mm-hmm.
Book was published afterwards called The Afterlife Experiments in relationship to it. Anyway, so later on, Dr. Swartz was looking for, quote-unquote, other people, other mediums to kind of like do this. So he sort of came upon Alison Dubois. Now, actually, her specialty, and interesting, most mediums tend to work with dead people. Psychics tend to work more with police work.
I see. Okay.
So that was really kind of more her, you know, frame of reference. But since everybody loves mediums, that's how they ended up naming it the show The Medium.
Interesting. But,
you know. Yeah.
Now, this event that you are in town promoting that you're going to be doing at the mm-hmm. Radisson Hotel in Culver City, I guess, on
yes.
Saturday from 1 to 4. The tickets are available at theseance.com. Now, you, as I understand from the materials, are part of what you're going to be doing, in addition to talking to people from the other side, is you're going to be talking about how we can learn to do this. Does everyone have the ability to be able to talk to
the
other
side? Everybody has the ability to what I call learn to tune in. In other words, whether you do it for a living or not is a whole other ball game. But what I think is this, and this is only from doing this for a long time. The bottom line, this is all about love. I mean, it's pure and simple. It's all about love. You don't stop loving people because they become dead people. They don't stop loving you. And that frequency of energy is a continuum. And what happens quite frequently, particularly right after a passing, or within the first year, or a birthday, or holidays, because that's always the time when we think about people that are connected
right.
to them, they will in many ways come to us. Usually the number one way is a dream.
Right.
And it's very fast. And it comes in a way, and I tell people there's a difference between a contact dream and a dream where we're having what I call remorse or fears and stuff. If you have a dream of somebody and they come in and say, listen, I'm really fine, I want you to know that I'm well, and I'm cool, and tell mommy and tell daddy, that's a contact dream. If you see them in the state that they might have been prior to their passing, let's say if they had a long-term illness, that's not a contact dream. That's you going through the emotional aspects of it.
Okay.
So dreams are the number one way. Smelling is also another way.
They ever show up in toast?
Yeah, they could. They could.
Sausage?
They could if that would be their thing.
Okay.
It's,
I would come
Bean
back in toast.
That would
be what I do.
Bean would come
yeah.
back
yeah.
to see us in toast.
Bean would come back in toast. That's true.
But yeah, but you know it's interesting because you do talk about food, and there are many people, particularly many cultures, for a fact, that have certain food things. And so you may, if you're in the house by yourself, clearly you're not cooking, and you smell this big smell of, let's say, bread, and you haven't baked it, and you know that somebody in your family did that. It's not such a far stretch that that's their connection.
Wow.
And it's interesting because that often will happen.
How do they make your house smell like that?
Because it's their connection to you.
Do they cook bread like in the afterlife?
No,
and then
it's just
wave it in?
Not that they cook it. It's you're going to have that smell because smelling is one of the ways that they make their connection. It's just one of the ways.
Suzanne, I have a question for you, and I know there's nothing I can ask that you haven't been asked before in the many years you've been doing this. Suzanne Northrup, by the way, is our guest. She is a medium. You can go to theseance.com if you would like information about her event this weekend. When I watch shows like yours or the John Edwards show and I see people talking to loved ones that are departed, it seems like it's always good news. It's always comforting news, and it makes me wonder sometimes if it's just what the person wants to hear, that's what they hear. You never hear them go to the other side, and the person's like, oh, my God, I'm in hell. I'm on fire. I'm in pain. I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. It's never like that. What's that about?
Or, well, I never liked you. <There's none>
Well, believe it or not, that does come up.
It does.
Yes. It's interesting you mentioned that. That came up very strong on a radio show that I was doing in Providence, Rhode Island. So it was a couple years ago. And I've, of course, doing so much radio, I've always learned the words that you can and you can't swear.
Right.
So I was connected with a woman who wanted to connect with her father. And, you know, I can't control who comes through. I mean, I'm just like the telephone wire here. So anyway, immediately this big woman shows up. So I'm saying to myself, well, unless, like, daddy's a cross-dresser, this has got to be, like, her mother.
Okay.
But she wanted to talk to her father. She was very clear that that's who she wanted to make the connection with. So I'm giving her information. There's, like, dead silence, you know, on the other than the phone. And then finally, all of a sudden, out loud, she said, that bitch, she's still keeping me from my father. So, you know.
So she was dead as well?
No. The mother was dead and the father was dead.
Right, exactly. Right, right.
But it was the mother that was coming through, not the father.
I see. You can't talk to him. He's busy. He's out right now.
I mean, you know, again, it's another one of those deals. You know, you are just a telephone wire. You don't know who's going to come through. You hope that, you know, the person they want to connect to does, but it doesn't always happen. So, you know, to answer your question is that things don't go away. If there's, you know, like, you know, whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with, it doesn't kind of go away. You kind of have to deal
with
it a little bit.
Convenient? Mm. To say that you can't control who comes through, and that way, if you're wrong, you just go, I wasn't in charge of whoever came through.
I don't know about convenient. I just know that that's just the way it is.
I mean,
you know, mostly it happens, but there's always those connections. We'll say somebody in the family is much more dominant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've done this for a really long time, and I can honestly say that I don't know why certain people come through and other people don't come through. And, you know, it's just one of those things. But I do know this. There's always a reason why they do.
Go
ahead.
How long does somebody have to be gone before you can talk to them? Because I have some questions about former Pistons coach Chuck Daly from the weekend who died. And I want to find out where he got those ties.
Wow.
And I just wonder if it's too soon.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
I could answer that. It's too soon.
No, I have actually spoken to people who have passed the same day.
You have?
Yes, yes.
They're not in processing or whatever?
Well,
is that paperwork to be filled out on the other side?
Maybe it is, but it's really individual.
Hmm.
It's totally individual.
We are going to have time for the listener phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. What kind of information do they need to provide to you, Suzanne?
Well, again, for sake for radio and to maybe hopefully connect to those that they want to connect with.
All right. Me too, oddly enough. That's my
520-1067. And if you can't stick around for the next segment, you can join Suzanne Northrup this weekend at the Radisson Hotel, Los Angeles West Side. That's in Culver City. She is selling tickets at theseance.com, and that's S-E-A-N-C-E. Your calls when we return with Suzanne right after this. In our studio, the world's one of the world's leading trance mediums. She is Suzanne Northrup. Her show is called The Afterlife, which is on demand here on Time Warner Cable in the Southern California area on Here TV. And, of course, you can buy tickets for her event this weekend at theseance.com. Suzanne, you ready to take some calls from some of our listeners?
I am.
Here's what I like about Suzanne. A, she can take it when I say I don't believe her.
Yep.
And B, the people that call are crazy rabid for it. There are plenty of people who believe it and call it 1-800-520-1067.
Why wouldn't you be rabid? If you have the opportunity to talk to somebody that's gone, I mean, that's a gift. Let's face it. That's something most of us will never get a chance to do. So why don't we start with Victor, I believe, on line two. Hey, Victor, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Suzanne. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Who is it that you're looking for?
My wife.
Hey, Victor, how you doing?
Hi, hello.
Okay, two things I'm going to ask you this really quick here. I don't know why here. Has she not been gone real long, please?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, because she's telling me she hasn't been gone. I almost want to say she's arrived, so it hasn't been very long. She's given me the month of June very significantly, Victor, and usually when they give me months, it's a birth or passing that they make an honoring for. I'm also going to ask you this. Was this a quick passing, please?
No.
Okay, she's telling me she went very fast.
No.
So if she was ill, she had to have gone very fast at the end.
No.
Doesn't everybody go very fast at the end, though?
Not necessarily. Sometimes they'll hang on. Now, I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here, Victor. Is her mom still here?
Yes.
Okay. She's coming with another woman. So there had to have been a woman connected to one of her side of the family that's passed. So if it's not her mom, it had to be her grandmother.
Okay.
Yes. And they had to be very close from what I'm gathering.
Okay.
Now, I'm also going to ask you this, please. Is there a son, please?
A son? No.
Okay. She's talking about a younger male.
She's a cougar.
Uh-oh.
No, it's a younger male connection. So it's either got to be a younger brother or there's a younger male that she's making a connection. It could be a nephew.
Victor didn't know about it.
But she's talking about it.
That's passed away or
no, it could be coming to here. She's making an honor by this younger person.
Well, I have a son from another marriage.
Thank you. You have a son. I don't care how you got the son. She's talking about connection to the boy. Do you understand?
Okay.
Now, first or middle name is honored from the son, she's telling me, which means his first or middle name is passed down, either from you or your side of the family.
I'm sorry. Say that again. You're talking too fast.
She's telling me that a first or middle name is passed down to the boy, either from you or from your side of the family.
No.
Yes, she's telling me the first or middle name is passed down.
Oh, middle name, yes.
Thank you.
Wow, Victor. She knows more about your family.
More about Victor's life than Victor does.
Yeah. Victor's fighting it.
And, yeah, right. You have to understand, Victor, is that she wants to come through, and I'm just trying to give you information here, and that's basically all I'm doing. I never know how they're going to identify, but that's a very identifiable information, the fact that you have a son and that the middle name is passed down. Now, I'm
hey,
also going to...
How long has your wife been gone? I'm just curious, because Suzanne said she doesn't think it's been very long.
2 years yesterday.
Thank
wow.
you. And we're coming into
that?
June? Thank you. Yes.
No, she passed away. May? Yesterday.
Yesterday, May, right? Okay.
Yeah, May.
Because she's telling me very close around this time. And that's what they mean, literally. Now, I'm also going to ask you this really, really, really strong. I have to tell you something here. I know you obviously were married before, whatever it is, with this child. But this woman talks about you being extremely connected. So I'm going to give that to you quite literally. And I'm also going to say, she said you guys are very connected.
What does that mean, Suzanne?
That they
had a strong relationship.
They had a very strong relationship, exactly. Now, I'm also hearing one other thing here, Victor. I don't know if I'm getting a name or she's given this to me for another reason, but I'm hearing Rose very strong. So there's
Rose?
Yes.
I have a niece. Her middle name's Rose.
Now, would she have been connected to your wife?
She's 10 years old, so she should have been 8 and younger when she met.
Okay,
so.
Because if she's identifying by a lot of children, that indicates to me a lot of her personality. So obviously, do you understand? Obviously, children were important to her. If she's identifying by your son, if she's identifying by the niece, it would be just, I would say, a sense of her connection. I want to say this quite literally. This woman knew she was going to pass when she got sick. I'm going to tell you that.
Okay.
And I don't know why I want to say this to you. Now, May is a passing thing. I'm also going to tell you there's something connected to her with the month of December, Victor.
December.
Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's when Christmas is.
Right.
You're good,
Dean. There's something with December. It's got to be a birth or passing also that she's making reference to, unless it's this grandmother that's coming through with her.
Yeah, and there's nothing in December.
Okay. Oh, Victor will think about it.
Just write it down. All right.
Listen, Victor, we're out of time for your call, but thank you very much. This is what's interesting to me, Suzanne, is that mostly it seems like, and it's that call and also others that I've seen on TV, the people who call only they learn stuff that they already know about the people.
That's always been your question, is how about something new?
Yeah.
Well, how
do you validate the information? Right. If I give you something that you don't know, then there's no validation.
But what's the point of reaching out to the other side if all they're going to tell me is when they passed and who they left behind?
Because
I don't understand what the advantage is for
the advantage is that validates their connection. That's
that
the way
really
that
there.
They let you know they're coming through. Exactly.
Really
if I gave you information that did not validate it, then there'd be no way of knowing it. And it really is about the validation. I mean, that's the key thing, is it's about the validation of that connection. And one of the things I have to say, besides the fact that I like radio because it's live and you're getting it the way it is, people do go brain dead. They do go in shock. As you see, he didn't remember the middle name being passed down.
He didn't remember he had a son.
Didn't know Brad had a son. But I always say, this is not about me. When you get off the air, write down the things that are said.
Yeah.
Because you will go home and you will find out this and that and whatever it is. Because this is not a linear process. That I can tell you.
It seems to me like you were shooting at about 40%, 30%. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that he didn't identify with.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean because he wouldn't identify by the middle name. He also didn't identify by the niece. We got her name.
Okay.
He didn't identify by having a son. He thought, immediately she says son. And he said, well, I didn't have a son with her. But you have a son.
Yeah, Victor was shaky. There's no question about that. Kevin, do we have time? Can we take one more or no?
Let's do it. I think Victor was also emotional, to be quite frank with you.
Let's try Kim on line four. And if you believe in this and you believe that you're actually in contact through a medium with your wife who passed 2 years ago, of course, that's a very emotional thing.
Absolutely.
I can understand that. No. Hi, Kim. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show with Suzanne. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Hey, Suzanne.
Hey, Kim. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Who are you looking for?
I'm looking for my father.
Okay. Two things, Kim. First of all, your mother's still here?
Yes.
Okay. Mother's still here?
No.
Okay. There's two women that your father's coming with, and they're two grandmothers. So his mom also passed.
Yes, she did.
Yes. Now, I'm going to also tell you this, please. Two other things here. Are you one of three, or are you one of two or two more, please?
No.
Okay. Your father's giving me three.
Three women. Maybe he's got three women with
him. No, three siblings.
Oh.
Is he one of three?
No.
They're giving me three sons, three boys.
No.
Okay. He's given me three, so just please write it down. That I got to ask is his dad passed?
Yeah.
Did he lose a brother?
Did his dad lose a brother?
There's a brother with your father. Your father's coming with two other males. One's a brother, I believe, and one's a grandfather.
No brothers.
Okay. Then there's a male like a brother that's coming with your dad.
Okay.
Now, I'm also going to ask is your daddy was sick, please?
Yes.
Okay. Was he either a smoker or had lung problems, please?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can't breathe.
Oh.
And that must be what he passed from in a combination with the smoking. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually. Now, I'm going to also ask, are you not his only daughter, please, Kim?
No, I am.
Okay, because he's telling me you are daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
He's being very loud, clear, you are daddy's girl. Now, I want to know who got your father's watch, please.
Wow. Yeah, actually, that was something I had requested to keep, but we ended up having it buried with him.
Okay. As long as you know what he's talking about, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
All right? That's all that really matters.
Should she go get it?
I wouldn't necessarily.
I'm just asking. Okay.
No,
all right.
No, you know, it's a validation because that was what she wanted. They made a choice, and he's obviously aware of it, and that it's all about just him letting you know. I'm also going to tell you one other quick thing here, Kim. You know, your father is very, very clear, by the way, that he's made visitations to you since he's passed.
Okay.
He's telling me he has.
And have you ever felt that, Kim?
Yeah, actually, I had a dream recently.
Yes.
About a month and a half ago.
Right. Now, what I like to always sort of say to people, we talked about this with Lisa, and that's one of the things we mentioned, that dreams are the number one way of contact. It is very common for you to have a dream, believe this or not, about a person right before there's going to be a connection. It commonly happens all the time.
Okay.
And by connection, you mean?
A connection that he was going to come through today. It's like he knew today she was going to get through on the phone. And you guys know these phones are off the hook.
This dream was a month and a half ago, though.
And there
it was a flash in
there's time. A flat. Yeah, it's like it was almost like
when
a,
you're
a
dead,
preparation.
What's a month and a half, Kevin?
Right, exactly. what's a month and a half?
All right. We're out of time. I'm sorry, Kim. We're out of time for
no,
the rest
that's
of your
okay.
call.
Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome, Kim.
Thank you very much for calling. It sounds like your dad knows you're there and vice versa. So there you go.
That's pretty cool.
Suzanne Northrup has a show called The Afterlife on demand through Time Warner Cable on Hear TV, HearTV.com. Mike, there's lots of gay beefcake shots on that website if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
And the event is going to be this weekend. Suzanne Northrup's Messages from the Spirit World. It's going to be this Saturday at the Radisson Hotel, Los Angeles in Culver City. Tickets available through TheSeance.com. Suzanne, good to see you again. I guess we'll do it again in another 10 years.
Good to see you.
Website of record, and you have late-breaking news this morning about the Michael Jackson concerts coming up this summer in Britain. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so here's the thing. So, you know, he made this deal for all these concerts in London. But before he made that deal, he signed a deal, or his manager signed a deal, to do a Jackson reunion tour. And that would be with Janet, with all the brothers, and with Michael. And they were going to make like $24 million off of it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happened. He then signs this other deal for London. But the first deal said you can't make any other concert contract for 18 months. So now all of a sudden these people are seeing he just made another deal. So they sent the cease and desist letter to the people who were doing the London concert saying you can't do this.
So his own family is suing him to stop him from doing this.
It's actually the entertainment group, but you got to wonder, his own family's got to be pissed off because, you know, it's not like these brothers are working a lot, and they would have made a lot of money off of this thing. So there's a letter saying, you can't do this. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
So when Michael Jackson says this.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Right.
This is it. I mean, this is really it.
But really, this isn't it. Is what you're saying.
It.
It's possible this isn't it.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, Harvey, you're an attorney. I mean, you haven't obviously had a chance to see the actual contract that Michael signed for this other show. But, I mean, if it's as this entertainment company is describing, that sounds pretty legitimate. You can't go out and do a concert somewhere else until you fulfill your agreement to do a concert for us, right?
Well, we know something about this, and here's his defense. Michael did not sign the first contract. His manager, his agent, signed it. But, you know, there is law that says if your agent signs something, you're bound by what he does if he had authority to do it for you.
I would think so.
This could turn into kind of a big legal fight. And if it turns into a big legal fight, who knows what a judge is going to do?
Well, it sure seems like it would be possible, although difficult, for them to get together and do another concert before the run of shows begins in England, wouldn't it?
I think it would be impossible. I mean, look, what we're hearing is that he's not in great shape, and this England thing is going to be pushed back. That the original – it's really interesting because the original tickets for England, people were paying crazy amounts of money for it. But if the shows get canceled at the beginning, all they're going to get is the face value back, so they're going to lose a fortune.
Oh,
wow, that's a really
good
point. How about that? This is Harvey Levin, of course, on the line from TMZ.com. Let's change gears to the story that you guys have been all over since the second it broke, and that is Miss California USA, Carrie Prejean. And Harvey, after we had you on last week, we got a bunch of emails from people who thought that you guys were piling on her because you disagree with her views, and that Kevin and Bean were guilty of piling on her for the same reason. That's not the way I read this at all.
No, as a matter of fact, I mean, if you look at what happened, we're the ones that got those pictures. Somebody said we didn't publish the pictures because she's saying she was 17 at the time.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I'm not so sure she was 17. I didn't really believe that at the beginning. But then last night, we get this email that's sent by one of her former sponsors for Miss California. And this sponsor is saying it's all baloney. She was well over 18, and here's how he knows it. Would you like to know the date that Carrie Prejean got a boob job?
Yeah. Sure.
Sure. It is January 6, 2009, she got her boob job.
Oh, wow.
2009?
2009. So this guy is saying that after the boob job, Carrie sent him one of those pictures, the one that's up on thedirty.com, and said, am I in good enough shape now for the Miss USA pageant? And she sent that after January 6, 2009, making it look like this was taken after the boob job, which means just months ago.
Maybe she's only 17 now. No. Have you thought of that?
No.
No. Okay, just check it.
You know, when you get your boobs done, you just got to show them off. If we know anything, we know that.
That's the thing. So he's saying it's absolutely a lie that she's over 18. And
but she only took that one picture.
No, she didn't. I'm just telling you, that is not the case.
I got you.
But to address the emailer's concerns, do you think a certain number of people are taking pleasure in seeing her have this controversy because they disagree with her opposite marriage stance?
Of course.
Well, yeah, because she's setting herself up as a moral icon, right? I mean,
here's my problem with it. I mean, but answer to your question, yes. I mean, I think there are some people who are only going after her for that. I think what's really weird about this is, you know, she answers this question, and she is Miss California USA. They do have a certain obligation, you know, to basically say, look, you know, we represent the pageant. We're not going to go on some crusade, you know, on behalf of Miss California. What she did is she's just gotten on this publicity wagon. She's basically making this everything. She won't even talk. She will not even talk to the Miss California people, the people who she works for. She has her publicist doing it, who, by the way, was Billy Graham's former publicist, that they could only communicate with her now through this publicist, which is insane.
Can you imagine being Billy Graham's publicist and then moving on to Miss California? That would be a bummer.
That would make your job a little more difficult. So
they think she's a nightmare because, you know, she's been difficult from the beginning. But now it's like, how do you run a pageant? How does she represent Miss, you know, California if she won't even talk to these people? And you know what she's doing now? She went back to D.C., and she's actually recording, you know, those telemarketing recordings that you get?
Yes.
She's soliciting people randomly to contribute money and sign petitions against gay marriage. So she's,
wow,
like, taken on this thing that has nothing to do with her crown, using her crown to do it.
And that's a good point. Regardless of what her cause is, you usually don't do stuff like that while you're the current crown holder for a state. All right, last question.
But now the question is, tomorrow, today they're going to hold a news conference for Miss California. Nothing's going to happen to her today. Tomorrow, Donald Trump, we found out, Donald Trump will announce whether she stays or goes. What do you think?
She's fired.
I think she stays. I think she stays.
But all Donald Trump says is you're fired. That's it.
I think she stays.
Really?
I think this is great publicity for Donald Trump.
I do, too. I do, too.
He will not miss an opportunity.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw any of the Celebrity Apprentice last night, Harvey, but Donald Trump.
I saw the first 8 hours.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is as orange as an Oompa Loompa in The Wizard of Oz. It's unbelievable. That's the worst spray tan job I've ever seen.
Well, okay. I agree with you. My bigger thing was, how do you fill it? Why do thousands of people show up to sit there and applaud that he walks? Was that the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was a bizarre live yet not live television show.
That's
absolutely.
Yeah, it was so weird.
It was basically people sitting in a room watching clips of a show is
That's
what it was.
Right. And thousands of people.
And they were saying, look at that orange tan. What is that?
What's the deal?
Why is he orange?
Harvey Levin, TMZ.com is the website all over the world, and look for Harvey Levin's TMZ television show on your local schedule. Harvey, great to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Donald Trump is as orange as an Oompa Loompa in The Wizard of Oz. It's unbelievable. That's the worst spray tan job I've ever seen.
That was a moment with Bean.
They were my favorite characters in The Wizard of Oz.
It's not The Wizard of Oz, was it?
There's one Oompa Loompa hiding behind some of the munchkins in
The
Wizard of Oz.
That's
where I saw it. In the crowd scene. You don't really see them very much.
Makes a cameo.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
an Easter egg in your DVD? Did you find that?
Exactly. All right. Perhaps I was thinking of Willy Wonka. All right. Listen, it's 8:59 on the Kevin Beach Show. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What the hell's going on?
We're talking about Star Trek. Big money. No whammies. $76.5 million made Star Trek number one by a long shot this weekend at the box office. X-Men Origins Wolverine was number two with $27 million. Still pretty respectable.
Yeah.
Number two. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past brought in $10.4 million. Good enough to make it number three this weekend. Obsessed, 17 again. Next Day Air, The Soloist, Monsters vs. Aliens, Earth, and Hannah Montana the Movie rounding out your top ten at the box office. This weekend, speaking of movies, a Swedish couple is currently fighting in court for the right to name their son Q.
Really?
Turns out they are huge James Bond fans, and they wanted to name their son after the eccentric inventor from the James Bond movies that gives James all of his weapons. Q.
This would surprise people who take America's freedoms for granted, but in this country you can name your kid anything you want, no matter how stupid it is. In a lot of other countries, you have to get government permission to go outside the lines on that.
Turns out Swedish law forbids naming a child just one letter.
Really?
That's a law.
Somebody put that into law?
You can't do that.
Okay.
So they are currently battling. They've already called the kid Q most of his life, which is a couple of years old now. They said he already answers to Q. What does Sweden gain by forcing him to take on a new name, says his father, Rickard Renberg. His mother, Theta Thornsukjit, had no statement. However, her name is Theta Thornsukjit.
So Q is an upgrade.
Now you can see why they went with Q.
Yeah.
Because Swedish names are honked up. You heard about this priest in Miami? This is my favorite guy ever.
No, I haven't.
There is a famous Latin priest named Reverend Alberto Cuti.
Okay.
He's had a bunch of shows on Telemundo. He runs the Archdiocese Radio Network down there in Florida.
Florida?
He's a huge media personality amongst the Latino population in Miami, in the Florida area.
Okay.
Photos of him recently surfaced last week of him making out with some broad on the beach.
Yay! And that's acceptable?
Not so much.
Not acceptable.
No. Now the Cuban-American priest has gone on television saying that he does not support breaking the laws of celibacy for priests.
Okay.
However she was hot?
He doesn't want to be known as the anti-celibacy priest, he said.
Right.
But look at those cans.
But he did admit to having sex with the woman.
Yes.
So now he says he's going to have to reevaluate his position with the church because he says
I'll give her a plug.
He's in love with the woman.
Right.
You see. Oh. He didn't just have sex with her. He's in love with her. This poor guy, he's going to have to marry this broad now. Now he's going to have to. He's got no choice. He said, I believe that celibacy is good, and I think it's a good commitment to God. Just not for me. When I'm supporting, you know, when I got to... Oh, no,
yeah, we got it.
Anyway, I just think it's funny, because you know if he wasn't caught, there's no way he would have taken his collar off. He appeared today on television without his collar, saying he's probably going to have to leave the church because he's in love.
That celibacy keeps a lot of good people who might otherwise be excellent priests out of that line of work.
Kept me out.
I was thinking about the direction you were heading.
Yeah, I was heading. I was heading right for the the missionary,
of course.
Position.
Yeah. You make money promoting sin.
Well, if I can, I do.
You're an abomination.
That may be true, sir. Today's celebrity birthdays again. Not much going on. We got Matt Leinart. Former USC QB, now playing for the Cardinals. He's 26.
Well, playing is a strong word.
Well, he suits up.
Right.
Let's put it that way. And apparently Peter North, one of our favorites.
What?
Celebrates his 51st birthday
the
today.
Decorator?
The decorator. The spackler. Who also was headed for the priesthood, I think.
Yeah, sure.
If it wasn't for that darn celibacy thing.
He sure does baptize some women.
Oh, though. Would you stop it?
I'm saying.
I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remember when Michael Jackson announced his 10 shows in London, and then he said, this is it?
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
And then he added like 20 more, and then he added like 20 more. Well, apparently none of them might happen.
Oh, that's zero deal.
According to TMZ.com, All Good Entertainment is a company that was putting together a series of concerts with Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, and the Jackson Brothers.
That's right. There was some talk of them going out on a big reunion tour, and then that got derailed. And then the next thing we knew, Michael's doing solo shows, right?
Right. But according to the brothers and Janet, who apparently have sent a cease and desist letter, he said that he would do the tour with them and not perform apart from them for 18 months.
Oh, you're kidding.
So they're now saying none of the 50 shows in London can happen until he tours with them.
Okay. That just sounds like your own family extorting you. But we thought, let's find out what's going on for reals. We got our old friend Michael Jackson on the line with us this afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde show. Hey, Michael. If I understood the way Kevin was describing it, and I'm not sure I did, you had signed a deal to do a reunion tour with your family and then didn't do it and decided to do solo shows instead?
And that was after he read the story.
I described that pretty accurately, by the way.
He wanted to do it without reading anything about it in the first place.
Michael's brother and Janet are suing him so that he can't put on these solo performances.
Okay. All right.
Is that happening?
Look, that's not what's happening.
What's happening?
What's happening? What's the story here?
I have to do the setup.
What's
and the
happening?
Now, there was a company.
Right.
That had signed... It made plans to do a tour with the Jackson family.
That's what I said. All Good Entertainment. F you.
Right. But the family, Janet and the brothers and everything, they're not suing me. They don't care about this at all. They're not involved in it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Is this the company?
They agreed to do a tour that fell apart. So it's the company. It's the lawyers of this company that want me to pay them because I set up my own tour.
Okay, so fast forward to today. What happens to you and the all the millions of people who have bought tickets to see you playing in London this summer?
Oops.
What do you mean, oops?
Guess it won't happen. I guess I'll just have to take the money and not do the shows. Damn.
Well,
damn, I was so looking forward to 50 nights of singing and dancing and sweating.
At the very least, you're going to have to refund the money.
No, you should have read the fine print on the ticket. It says right here, in an event that the Michael Jackson concert is canceled, you are...
It says that?
I don't think that's really what it says on the tickets.
Did you read the ticket?
No. No, I can't say that I read the tickets.
Then f*** you, Holmes.
So you're almost making it sound like you're some sort of evil genius that you masterminded this whole thing.
How could I possibly have known that I agreed to not book another tour within 18 months of this initial agreement?
Good point.
How could I have
there's
known
no
that?
No way to have known that.
No way. No yeah. way.
So there's no way that you were orchestrating this thing.
None whatsoever. Yeah. How would I know that all these forms, which I signed in triplicate mm-hmm. and are legally binding, would right. keep me from actually following through on this 50-day tour in London? There's no way I could have known that.
Michael, would it be entertaining for you to hear Kevin try to explain again what's going on?
I'd like to hear him explain what just happened.
You, Holmes.
Ralph Garman joins us this Monday afternoon. What's going on, Argar?
You tell me. What is going on?
Bad things.
This show's a mess.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Star Trek, as expected, crushed the competition with about $77 million, making it number one by far in its debut weekend. X-Men Origins Wolverine dropped off about 68%, but still hanging in there at number two. Made an additional $27 million this weekend. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past came in at number three. Obsessed was number four. Number five, 17 again. Number six, Next Day Air. The Soloist, Monsters vs. Aliens, Earth, and Hannah Montana, the movie, rounding out your top ten at the box office. You know, I love the collectibles. It was
yep.
a big Hollywood collectibles auction over the weekend.
Sure.
A lot of cool stuff was up for bid. Some of the biggest money makers. It's hard to believe when you hear some of the prices these things went for that there is a downslope in the economy, that we're living in a recession. Because in an age where you can buy a home for $250,000, Harrison Ford's gun from Blade Runner sold for $270,000.
Wow.
It's a prop. It's a movie prop. It's not even a real gun. You can't even shoot anybody with it. How good is that? Well, you could shoot androids, I guess, with it, if you knew any.
And you buy that, and the hope is that it will continue to increase in value over the years?
Yeah, actually, in honesty, it probably will. It's probably a good investment.
Really?
Blade Runner is consistently considered one of the greatest science fiction films of all time.
Right.
And sci-fi props always go for a good premium value.
Wow.
So if you hold on to it, it probably will go up in cost. Because, look, there's only one of them. They're not making any more.
Yeah.
It is a unique item. So,
but it's not a gun.
In the collectibles world,
oh.
probably will hold on to its value.
All right.
Also, some high-ticket items were an original poster for the 1931 movie Frankenstein. A mint-condition poster sold for $216,000.
That's a piece of paper right there.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
And the mask that the dude in the Creature of the Black Lagoon movie wore, the original mask, sold for $80,000, but still... There's gold in that room. Mm. Gold, I say.
We'll see.
We'll see. Michael Phelps. Did you hear this news out of Baltimore, Maryland? Apparently, Michael had a threesome with a stripper after meeting her and another woman at the club where she performs lap dances.
Yeah.
All right, now.
Teresa White is her name. And she says she approached Michael for a three-way. He told me he'd never had one before, but he said it would be with me... He would do it and then pointed at another girl, and she signed on. She tells London's tabloid News of the World, the sex lasted for about 3 hours. Michael should get another Olympic gold for marathon lovemaking.
Wow.
Really?
Is he too tired of endorsement money? Is that what's going on here?
Yes, apparently he does not want to collect any more money from anyone for any endorsement.
He's exhausted.
He just wants to smoke dope and bang strippers. And who doesn't, really? Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Peter North, legendary adult entertainer. He is 51 years old today. And Cardinals QB Matt Leinart, formerly of USC fame, is 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.